This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening, it's that time of week again. 2 hours live Rugby League chat right here on Radio Yorkshire, your home of Rugby League on the radio. Castleford Tigers, get that trophy cabinet ready. That's what Brian McDermott says. They're getting the league leader's shield. But will Hull FC have something to say about that come Friday night? That should be an absolute belter down at the Menderhoes Jungle. Castleford against Hull is just one of four live commentaries on Radio Yorkshire this weekend. Salford collapsed against St Helens. Are the wheels coming off? Or are they just having a bit of downtime ahead of the semi-final and the Super 8? Leeds beaten. Should they let Zach Hardacre play? Did they have any choice? Leeds fans, are you happy that Zach Hardacre is going to Castleford? And I ask the question, with news breaking or emerging, rumours circulating that Richie Myler will sign a 3-year deal with the Leeds Rhinos, would you give Danny Maguire a new contract? We'll put that out on Twitter, at RL on RY. We're live on Facebook. We've not got one, but two rants for you tonight. Scorby will join us after seven when he'll be getting ripped in. And Richard Shawright's got a rant of his own as well. We had to calm him down on Friday night on the way home from Headingley. He was not a happy chappy at all. Wakefield waved the white flag, said Chris Chester. We'll speak to Scoey about that one. And St Helens, have they kept their season alive? The Giants and the Warriors fight out a draw, but surely now the Dragons are heading into the bottom four, as are Widnes and Lee. We'll take a look at the Championship as well, where Bradford finally get to zero, but it's talking about the Broncos. 10 wins on the spin for them. It's another huge week of Rugby League. We're discussing it right here on Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. At RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch on Facebook as well. Please, if you are watching on Facebook, give us a share, give us a like. Let everyone know we're here and have your say on the greatest game of all.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Indeed, welcome along to you, the listener, at home, wherever you're listening. I hope you've downloaded the Radio Yorkshire app, everybody, because it's so easy to do, and it means you can take us along with you. Got a bit of housekeeping to do regarding the app. He says, not being able to find it, but here we go. We have launched a brand new app, and to celebrate, if you download it, you'll have a chance to win a pair of weekend camping passes to this year's Leeds Festival. Enjoy the likes of Kasabian, Muse, Liam Gallagher and Eminem at Bramman Park Friday 25th to the 27th of August. All you've got to do is follow these simple instructions. Go to the App Store on iTunes or Google Play. Search for Radio Yorkshire. Download the app. Leave a 5-star review. Stick your Twitter handle on there. So that's so we can get in touch with you. Enjoy Radio Yorkshire on the go. Full terms, radioyorkshire.co.uk. Competition closes Sunday the 2nd of July with the app. You can get all the great shows, such as the afternoon show with Andy Lawson. You've just been listening to that now. You can listen to the Rugby League live commentaries as well, and the proper music work day, 9 till 6. So get stuck in with that right now, and you've no excuse not to be listening to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. Boys, are we well? Richard, Phil and the legend with us tonight. Wakefield waved the white flag. Richard, that's what your coach said.
Well, I wasn't there, so I didn't see it, unfortunately. But I did enjoy my night at Headingley. But well, we said last week, didn't we, going into this game after the defeat at Salford and heading out to the Challenge Cup, it was a big game for Wakefield to stay on track for some kind of top four finish, which of course is still on regardless of the result on Friday. And Wakefield have to go out and get a win on against Warrington, a poor Warrington side, this Saturday. As a matter of fact, they've signed a couple of players who may or may not be ready or whatever, but yeah, big game this Saturday.
It is indeed. Phil, disappointment for the Leeds Rhinos.
Yes. Can I give a shout out to, I think, as the team of the week?
Dewsbury. Magnificent win.
Well, two wins. To win twice in a week at part-time level. What a difference Neil Kelly's made. Mm. Turn them around. I think that's a magnificent 8 days off the relegation spots. They're now third from bottom, joint with Swinton, and only one win away from Rochdale. So just hats off to Dewsbury in case we forget to mention it later.
I'm sure we will mention it, because that's really opened up the door at the top end of the Championship as well, to lose slipping up there.
But as for Leeds, I would just say, if you don't hold the ball, you don't win the game. 20 mistakes said it all. Lots of people try and analyse the whys and wherefores of the game. The truth is, if you don't hold on to the ball, you don't win.
But Phil, then if you don't create anything, you don't score tries.
At half time, just before half time, Joel Moon chips over the defence. We're looking at each other going, where's Sko? He's bound to be applauding this. There's creativity, vision and awareness. You won't even give him credit for that.
I didn't even see it. I was on my way down to present the creative.
Chipped over the top, regathered. It was like Sko evolved.
You know, I was on my way down from the stand to present the Heritage Awards, like they're doing a Friday night there, Mark Wilson.
It wasn't that they didn't create stuff. They never got to the chance where they could create stuff because they dropped too much ball.
The best moves we saw at Headingley on Friday were not from Zach Hardacre, they were from you, the legend, at half-time, dancing on the field.
I'll tell you what.
How many pints had you had?
I can still move a little bit. Do you know what, mate? Did I say I'm pretty mobile on the feet and pretty nimble as well, to be honest with you. And when I'm 52 years of age on Saturday, the 1st of July, if anybody wants to send some cards in, or just, you know, any hospitality going Saturday, I'd be fully appreciated. But, pretty light on the feet. But, you mentioned from the Friday night's performance, again, Castleford just showed another side of their game, didn't they? You know, the character, everybody was thinking, well, how they're going to be after that quarter-final defeat against Hull. I tell you what, they just, again, showed that mentality, what they've been building all pre-season, what they addressed from last year, losing them three games. Yeah, far too good a game for Leeds. And I think that now is that seven on the bounce, Phil, they're beating us. So, you know, at this moment in time, Castleford are far too good for Leeds. And I say, I'll take it up with Phil again. Our creativity at this moment in time, non-existent. We only scored the two tries because of, you know, Roberts passing the ball in goal. That mistake from,
Leeds are fourth,
and Hardacre.
And they have got the fifth best attack. And they're only 1 point behind Wakefield. So,
well, I'll tell you what, then. That tells everybody else is rubbish on attack, then, doesn't
it? Well, that might be a different tale. But
it's not a different tale, Phil. It proves everybody else is rubbish on attack.
I thought Castleford's game management was exactly what was missing the week before against Hull. And when you can see that a team's learnt a lesson that quickly, I think that does put them in good stead for silverware.
They were absolutely outstanding. They were.
I think we've said it before. I know Mark mentions it a lot, but I just thought Grant Millington was summed up everything that was good about Castleford. When he needed to drive the ball in hard, he did. When he needed to hit someone in a tackle, he did. Then he reverts to being the standoff in the props body, and he's shipping the ball out and giving good service. I think he summed up everything that was good about Castleford on Friday night.
But again, though, but if you look at again, because I watch him regularly now, and he's head and shoulders above everybody else is Luke Gayle. The way he's just probing and taking his time. And yeah, when I'm coming into the game, whether it's looking for that creativeness, whether it's just to calm things down, whether it's a high ball or whether a ball into touch, just steady things down there. When we're ready to go, he says, we're ready
Millington's
to go.
Try, which arguably was the game break, sum that up. Because, first of all, it's a last tackle play and Gayle's shipping the ball with a long pass wide. And then when it comes back, scrambled back brilliantly by Eden, it's Gayle that's looking up going, there's a man in space.
But again, though,
and the kick's got to be good, and it was bang on the money.
But as I keep saying about Castleford, they do this. That's what they will be doing in training. They won't be doing drills. They'll be doing game-related sort of situation. And that's exactly what they'll be doing. And the reaction from the players, because, as I keep saying, I hope all coaches can listen out there, even players, how you train is how you play, and how you play is how you train. It's as simple. It's not a fluke. No. They just react to it because that is what they practice and it's what they do in training.
And also, they didn't get waylaid by the fact that the first try was one of the most bizarre you'll ever see. So they go behind to... I think Ben Roberts thought it was a free play and it didn't matter what he did, but I honestly don't know what he was trying to do, but it didn't derail
Castleford. Do you know what it was well, though? Ash Hanley, I didn't mind an interception try myself, as you well know, but I'll tell you what, is that the shortest ever interception try? Yeah. He didn't even have to run. To get it, did he? Just
minus metres.
Thanks very much. You know, is that the shortest ever interception try?
Yeah, he nearly had to go backwards to get it over the line, didn't he? Nearly went off the end of the field.
You said it in commentary, didn't you? It's the nearest in rugby league you'll ever get to an own try.
Yeah, an own goal, yeah. Shocker.
Marcus Bye. That's what he was channeling his inner Marcus Bye, and there he was.
Well, Leeds was saying to Cassie, we'll give you six start and we'll still beat you. What do you say to that, Scully?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I can't argue about it, can I? Can't argue, can't debate it.
Did Brian McDermott do Darryl Powell's job for him? Then they sort of, we're coming to get you. Coming to get you.
No,
said.
I think that, from a media point of view, fantastic. Mm. Great.
I'll buy into that. Yeah, I'd buy into
and if
that.
It got more people in the ground, great. Yeah, and actually, that's exactly what Leeds should have been saying before the game.
Absolutely.
The fact that they didn't back it up is neither here nor there.
Because I was speaking to loads of the fans before the game, and they were saying, "Yeah, do you know what, Scott? We were delighted what McDermott says. We are looking for revenge tonight. Absolutely. We're looking for revenge, and you know we should get it because we all know the disappointment again the week before against Hull again. But
and if we want to win the league leader's shield, we have to win this game. And he was quite honest afterwards. Mm. They're not going to win the league leader's shield.
Now. Absolutely. But again, you know, we saw a different side to Cass, and when they want to mix it, they can mix it. And at this moment in time, they share quality and head and shoulders above everybody else in Super League.
Okay, you can get in touch on Twitter at RLOnRY. You can get in touch, have your say on whatever you want to talk about. A little bit of sneaky breaking news tonight that you boys alerted me to when I walked into the studio.
This is from the St Helens website. Saints star Johnny Lomax has put pen to paper on a new 2-year contract. So far, so boring, you know, play signs contract.
Interesting, though, because there was talk that he was going to be released with Ben Barber coming in. So that's good news.
He's escaped from a move to Widnes, so well done to that, Johnny. But we scroll down. He joins a group of players that the RFL have contracted centrally to help promote the sport. Johnny will take part in rugby league marketing and commercial opportunities, and will continue to not only be a face of the club, but the sport as a whole going forward.
Presumably they've given him the money from Chris Rawlings' wage as the RFL commercial director, who apparently has left as well.
Not even the number one fullback in England.
And the daft thing is, if he took his scrum cap off, no one would recognise him anyway.
And also as well, where's he going to promote the game from? Physio bench?
Yeah.
Because he's in there more than what he's on the training paddock or the match paddock.
I have to say, and this is raising a lot of questions now, what are the criteria? Because he never plays, and like you said, if you're picking your... Here's a question then. If you're picking your England team today, is Johnny Lomax in it?
Not a chance.
Phil?
No.
Rich?
Absolutely not.
He's not even nowhere near the squad.
Well, look, I agree with you, mate, but I haven't given him a central contract.
But presumably he will be in the squad going to the World Cup now because...
Why would he, Phil?
Because we're paying him.
Well, where's he going to play?
The other thing is, the RFL is a governing body that covers England, Scotland, Ireland and Wales. Should they not be rewarding somebody like Regan Grace, who will be going to the World Cup and has just signed an upgraded contract with St Helens, is a young prospect who could be around and a Great Britain player when Great Britain's reformed. What are the reasons behind central contracting?
Our man Mr Harrison has tweeted me earlier and said, great night to debate, that's a shocker, he's on about the Lomax deal. Some receive it to top salary up, others don't, who are more regularly selected.
Well, presumably Zach Hardacre either has or is about to sign a new deal to make him full-time at Featherstone.
He said at Featherstone?
At Castleford.
Something we don't know.
He lives in Featherstone. No.
Well, I'm happy with Matt Campbell all day today. He's never said, oh, Matt Zach Hardacre. He was talking about, the fee, what he got for him. But
so
not
why isn't he centrally contracted?
Well, we are, what? How many months into the season? 2 or 3 months in the season? Tom Johnson hasn't signed a new contract extension yet, which usually happens at least twice or three times a season. Surely, Michael Carter's going, like Danny Brough does at Kent. Hello, RFL, can I have some money for Tom Johnston? Otherwise he might, you know, go to sale. Hmm. Might retire.
Hmm.
Why Johnny Lomax?
That's
and
a shocker.
The other thing is, why hasn't...
There is a shocker.
Why hasn't something
shocker.
Been put out by the governing body? That they are party to this signing.
Well, Phil, we asked about the Championship highlights 6 months ago, still waiting a reply.
No, but seriously, if this is something that they are in joint venture with, surely it's beholden upon them to put out a statement.
Do you reckon we could... I wonder if we could get Scully on a central contract to get him off our wage bill.
I thought you wanted to go to
League Express.
It could go to Widnes now if Johnny Lomax isn't.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, what do you reckon? What should we ask for? Well, 25 quid a week?
It won't be much. It'll be a bus pass.
Do they even realise you've stopped playing?
It'll be a bus pass.
I have to say, Gary Carter's tweeting, and this might be a wording issue with St Helens' statement. It's not a central contract, but an ambassadorial contract. Well, this point still remains.
But listen, how can Johnny Lomax be an ambassador? How can he be, as Mark Wilson just said, how can he be an ambassador for the England Rugby League, realistically? Well, he's not good enough to play there, and as Mark Wilson said, nobody recognises him. How could he be an ambassador? Please do me a favour.
It's a bit where we say this is not a knock on Johnny Lomax. This is a...
Well, it is.
But it's like, why him?
Presumably Ben Barber isn't playing fullback then for Snell.
Maybe Ben Barber's here just for a 12-week holiday to burn off a ban. I'm only saying.
How do you become an ambassador then for rugby league? How does that work? Do you, go on the telly and tell some jokes on
Twitter? If they're in for Marky, why are they not in here then? Why don't we get them all in here, all the lads? They should all come in here.
Well, we don't know who they are, do we?
Oh, yeah, Johnny Lomax.
That's a good thing.
He's on his own. He's going
Johnny. You know how to press these buttons.
But also as well then, right? Let's just talk about this ambassador role, right? Where's he going to go? Where's he going? Which part of the country is he going to? You know, at the end of the day, I mentioned one person who should have been an ambassador and the face for rugby league 2 years ago, Lizzie Jones. She would absolutely, get the sponsorship what we deal. She's an intelligent lady. She's an attractive lady. Just exactly what this great game requires. Do you know what I mean? From a point of view where we can sell it. Do me a favour. How can Johnny Lomax be an ambassador for the greatest game of all in England?
Is he being on the pitch at half-time for televised games? Is that what it means?
Saints are lucky to get him on the pitch at all.
Well, this is what I'm saying. What's the ambassador in physio rooms? A physiotherapist?
He's taking over from Sam Tompkins on the BBC panel when Tam's playing. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we've got to move on. Right.
We've just been accused of bashing the Saints. We're not bashing the Saints.
No, we're not.
Who says we're bashing the Saints? The Saints says we're bashing the Saints. We're not.
Good luck to them on getting a central funding for Johnny
news.
Lomax.
Great news. They signed a new deal. Yeah, but
where is the criteria?
Where can we all get this funding?
Who qualifies and who doesn't? And is every club going to have a contracted player?
Can we all have an ambassador? Big Dave
could be an ambassador. Yeah, down in London this weekend.
He's more chance of playing for England than Johnny Lomax.
Even I'm more recognisable than Johnny Lomax.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm more recognisable than Johnny Lomax.
Come on, everyone goes, there's that big scorpion.
Yeah, well, ambassador.
At least he's recognisable. But more from Gary, apparently it's to do with working with sponsors and such.
Which sponsors? The mushy pea ones?
Like Datcher and stuff.
Oh, working with them in what respect?
It's made up. It's rubbish. Why do we never get a media release with what he's doing on it then? Or what any of the England players are doing?
If you're going to give ambassadorial contracts out, why isn't it the top high profile players who we've all heard, who people watching TV at home might have heard of?
With the greatest respect again to Johnny Lomax, so I wish a season free of injury and to get back to the form that he was at.
Because he's a very, very talented player.
Why isn't Alex Walmsley the face of St Helens? If you're going to talk to someone who is going to be an ambassador for the sport, he's got a great story. Came through the student game.
I'm going to be playing for England, going to the World Cup.
But also, was a late developer and qualified guy.
I coached him myself in 2010. Well, I told him that's
even more of a credit to Alex that he's come through that and he can still play.
I'm taking some credit, don't worry about that. I'm telling you. But hey, listen, I told Hull and I told Leeds and I told Cass about Alex Walmsley and the response I got back, score it, he's nearly 20 years of age, he hasn't come through the academy, it's too late. Hey, well done, Alex Walmsley.
Well done. Loads of people getting in touch on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Yorkshire. Rich, what's happening?
Lots of people still talking about Johnny Lomax, whose name I've forgotten already. And lots of people wanting to talk about one of the incidents that happened on Friday night at Headingley Carnegie Stadium, including John. It's about time long punishments were dished out for gobbing off at the refs. Tom says, how is a grade C charge enough for Maguire abusing an official on live television? Cannot wait for the game between Hull and Castle on Friday. Once praised the character that Saints showed, Tamik Salford, is this the start of a long unbeaten run to sneak into the four?
Could be. But we'll find out a bit more about that on Thursday, won't we?
Danny Maguire, grade C.
Well, let's talk to our very own referee abuser, Gary Schofield. 19 sin binnings, one red card. Come on, you're the man that used to abuse as a referee. Why should Danny Maguire get away with it?
Well, to be honest with you, they shouldn't, should they? But obviously, Danny was a captain, and I saw it all myself there. And yeah, it wasn't the right way to be addressing referee. I would say the wording wasn't right. What he was addressing referee, but just I guess a defence. Like I'll defend myself at times when I did literally say a few harsh words. Let's say to the referee, I guess in frustration because. clearly it looked like Max Shane lost the ball, but Hicks seemed to make that mistake from there. So I guess it was more the frustration. But no, I don't condone it. Correct. I don't encourage it whatsoever. And yet, Danny, he'll deserve exactly what he deserves. Simple as that.
As long as it's consistent.
I agree.
The issue is not whether it was heard on a television microphone. That if anybody is abusing a referee, whether it's on a mic or not, that is an offence. But we've got to round 19. Before a player has been now put up on a grade C charge.
What is it looking like for grade C? What is it like?
At least two games.
Is it two games?
But on a wider point of view, when you're a captain of a club, that's frustration. Yes, you're passionate about this is an important game where you want to make a point. But as captain, you're letting your teammates down if you're going to spend 10 minutes on the sidelines. And whilst Leeds defended extremely well in the 10 minutes he was off, who's to say that the 10 minutes after half time weren't the payback for that? The grade C issue is fine as long as it's consistent. Every week we lip read players saying very similar kinds of things, either to referees or to teammates or to opposition players. Let's just be consistent about it. Let's set a benchmark, and if we need to every week see a player getting a grade C, absolutely fine. But don't make this an issue just because a television microphone picked up what he said.
Yeah, I agree with that. I completely concur with that. He shouldn't have said what he said, and I think with hindsight, that we all know Danny's a decent guy.
Yeah, he is.
His record is fantastic. It's not like he's a habitual abuser of referees.
No, not like Scully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. When I did get sent off for literally verbally, terribly, actually, Stuart Cummings.
Yeah, but what Stuart Cummings, you see, so automatically now 99% of the rugby league public who watch the TV have got every sympathy for you.
Mitigation.
They should
because he did have a lot of character then. He got a lot now, but yeah, I certainly with the coming scenario. But as I think I've said before, haven't I? I didn't realise I've been simbing 19 times, and 18 of those were for abusing officials, and one were fighting Jeff Grayson, which wasn't very nice either, to be honest with you.
What counts as contrary conduct as well? Because that's coming up on charge sheets.
Mark Percival.
We've seen players kick balls away when decisions have gone against
them. Twice at the weekend.
Isn't that
on
dissent?
The TV.
Isn't that dissent?
It's disgraceful.
Should not the perpetrator have had 10 minutes in the sin bin for that?
And also as well, players throwing the ball at other players' heads and all this sort of thing as well. That's not in the spirit of the game. It's all about consistency, isn't it? That's what
Absolutely.
I'm looking for. All about consistency. Mm. It is in calls what the referees are doing.
Yeah, it's but how do you start? I mean, in fairness to Parcell, he kicked the ball away, and the other ball was on the field by the time he even got back. So didn't lose time, but there should be some punishment for that. And in the league game on Thursday,
Let's I'm going to put this in context a little bit and all. And I say Robert Hicks overall, I think everybody's coming to the agreement, is a penalty machine. He just wants to blow the whistle and give silly penalties.
Who's that?
Hicks. Also,
I thought you refereed it.
Let's teams rip in a little bit. Just give a bit of give and take. I was at Swindon and Feversham on Wednesday night, and at times the referee was just giving penalties just for not maybe standing square. If it was blatant there, but let's see the game flow a little bit and all this sort of.
Standing square, it's one of the rules of the game.
No, but it's not as though it's being blatant, Mac. It's not as if it's like that. He's just going.
Great, really.
The point
if you weren't watching on Facebook,
the point is,
it was
like
that.
And again, at Bradford Hall, we was there, we don't want to see a stop-start game. Warrington Catalans.
Do you think Robert Hicks goes, I think I'm going to have 30 penalties tonight.
Let things go. Let things go. Warrington Catalans, Aaron Bowen would tell us yesterday.
And then you get
penalties.
Coaches moaning, the player, the ball was too slow.
The coaches can't have it all their own way, can they? At the end of the day, just referees, don't be giving penalties for nothing. Let's see a little bit of open, attractive rugby league and non-stop games. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, tell the players to stop messing about then.
Well, you players out there, if you're listening, which we all know you do, stop messing about then.
The thing is,
the coaches leave the referees alone.
At every play the ball, you could probably give a penalty. So it is interpretation of how you see the game going, and I'm not sure that Leeds Castleford game on Friday night deserved 18 penalties. That's 18 breakdowns of play. I think those two teams would have been happier just to be allowed to go on and play. There was nothing desperately blatant.
Leeds dropped the ball about 25 times. Is that Robbix's fault?
No,
well?
But what I don't think that was a game that was an 18 penalty game. It wasn't. There was no violence that needed stamping out. Just let the teams play and see how the game progresses before you
I'll
go to the whistle first.
I'll buy into that. And if, and I just,
When did he give the penalty? You write them down. When were they all given?
It was six. I can't remember, something like 6-5 in the first half.
No,
I
think when were the penalties given?
Oh, I don't keep the times on.
I don't think he had, other than the McShane drop, I don't think he had a bad game, mate.
No, but it's not about the amount of penalties, it's about the interpretation of letting the game flow. And I thought there was an incident on Friday night that there wasn't enough rugby because there was too keen to get on the whistle.
There weren't enough rugby, Phil, because Leeds are rubbish.
Well, I think they're fourth, which... what does that say about the rest of the
league?
They
were rubbish on Friday. Thursday? As a track of days.
As Mr McDermott said, they won't be as bad on attack for the remainder of the season.
He's been saying that for 2 years. Brian, if you're listening.
Hey, Phil, they are poor on attack. They are.
I'm an ex-league player,
as you know, and also as well, I'm a Leeds supporter. Leeds are very... must be watching a different side to us in Phil, because Leeds are...
No, I'm just saying, statistically, they are the fifth best attacking team.
Everybody else is rubbish, but Leeds are very, very poor on the
side. So Leeds are slightly less rubbish than eight other teams.
Correct.
If you want to have a go at your favourite referee, Facebook is the place for that. Everyone's... I don't think anyone likes any referees.
No.
Jamie says we should have more ex-pros reffing. At least I would have more respect with current players. Depends who the ex-pro is, I guess.
Jamie Bloom's dropped out of refereeing, so it doesn't work to have ex-pros.
Thomas Wood says, regarding Maguire, does it not take it out of context when he wasn't actually abusing the referee? He's just saying his opinion on the situation. Yeah, but he used bad words. And he was shouting those bad words. And he can't do that.
Yeah.
Got to have respect for the referee. And, you know, frustration, whatever. He was penalised. Good. We need to do that.
And the fact is, that decision was referred to the video referee, and the video referee confirmed it, so the rant was a waste of time.
And Eddie Hemmings apologised for it on the telly. So we know he said a bad word, because Sky always over-apologised for things on the telly.
And turn the referee's mic off if you don't want to apologise for bad language.
Interesting. Contrary behaviour, by the way. Yeah, Percival, someone's tweeted in about
this. The Saints has been back on, who hasn't switched off after we slagged off St Helens, which we didn't. Mark Percival on the grade C for booting the ball in the ref's direction. Maybe he's trying to speed the game up.
Well, it's a shame John Wilkin didn't kick it and he gone nowhere near the ref's story, would it? Hey!
It'd have gone dead. it'd been a tap to Salford. 22-metre tap.
We will talk about the rugby. But there is this growing clamour to talk about ref. I don't want to talk about referees.
No. I just wanted to state it because, and I say, people keep saying, and it has been now for the last 4 or 5 weeks, Matt, literally saying, Scorey, you know the game. All it is now, it's stop, start. And we don't want to see it. And I've seen it now. I've seen 3 games this week. Championship, Swindon and Featherstone. Saw the, Leeds and Cass. Bradford Oldham, and hearing what Aaron Bauer said yesterday with Warrington and Catalans, I don't want to see stop-start games. Simple as that.
Okay.
Just some more stuff on the Leeds and Cass Open game, because there's some funny tweets out there and stuff on Facebook. Darren says, Dow Pally, he could have got Highton promoted. I'm not sure about that. Dear me. What about Highfield? Adam says, one more win for Cass, and they'll be confirmed in the top four way before the end of the season. Says, as a Leeds fan, it's amazing. Now it says, tell Phil... 7 in a row, Cass. Lol.
Niall, don't go yet, because you can just see it in the final. We'll never hear the end of it.
In a big game, innit?
You'll never hear the end of it.
You know, I know, they all know it's going to happen.
Don't gloat. Sport is cyclical.
He's Simon.
Enjoy it. They deserve it. If Cass finish top of the league, something they have never had done in their history... It will be a massive achievement, no matter what else they do.
Oh, Cass are finishing top of the league. Tell you. Cass are finished top of the league. The legends have told you. They're finishing
top. The legend told me they were going to do the treble. And anyway, I want to know, after you said I was bonkers, I want to know what you're going to do by way of an apology.
I'm not apologising.
You're not apologising?
Well, why should I apologise?
You call me bonkers when indeed I... Well, theoretically...
I'll say well done, but I'm not apologising.
Oh, OK. OK.
Well, what more do you want?
I feel I should read part of Simon's epic comment on Brian McDermott. It's fair to say he's not a fan of, but he's a Cass fan. Oh, he's just winding him up. Don't wind him up. Don't get me wrong, he says. I'm happy at the position we're in currently, but I really do feel for the Leeds fans. He's not a proper Cass fan, is he? Come on. Feeling for the Leeds. Hang on, this is Leeds. They've won everything for 20 years.
A Cass fan feeling sorry for Leeds, do
they've won
fair.
Everything for 20 years, Simon.
It's like Wakefield fans. Well, any fan really feeling sorry for Leeds. Any fan. No chance.
Fair play to Rhino supporters for sticking by the club. But how long will they continue to pay to watch a side that looks it like it's just beaten before they even start a game? Get him sacked and give him the England job. That's what we do with a poor coach. Simon, dearly me. I think you spent so much time writing that, Simon, I thought I'd better read some of it.
Yeah.
Not the bits that were really offensive about Primer. Because he might be listening and think it was me.
No, what he want us? It was Gary Schofield sent that in from Belle Isle in Leeds.
Els says, Leeds are in a false position. Their attack is poor. As for defence, it's been a poor season for the rest of the league. Hull, Cass, Woking, Salford have been standing out, but the rest are so poor.
I agree.
Is the league rubbish? Is the league rubbish?
I agree with that.
Kev says Saints are still rubbish despite the win over Salford, but Kev would think Saints were rubbish if they won the NRL Grand Final, which they can't play in.
He also as well, if that Saints fan is still listening as well, right? All right, it was a great comeback by St. Helens. What, 3 tries in 7 minutes? But boy, oh boy, when I saw that celebration from Matty Smith, right, come on, St. Helens fans, get in touch. What did you think about that celebration by Matty Smith? Was it a celebration that they'd won the Grand Final, they'd won the League Leaders' Shield, they got themselves in the World Cup Challenge Final and the World Cup Champions? Do me a favour, Matty Smith. You've been very, very ordinary all season. The Saints fans were expecting a far better performance against Salford. You performed for 7 minutes, you put a drop goal over, which, yeah, very well done. But please, please don't exaggerate the win. Just do not. Be professional about it. It was pathetic, that celebration. Absolutely pathetic.
What was Robert Louis doing? I mean, I've seen on the highlights, you know, it's 24-all, Salford are in possession. Yeah. What was he trying to do in the very last second of the game? Giving the ball to St. Helens.
No.
And he's had a magnificent season.
Possible. Pressure. Could be pressure, Rick. Yeah. Phil.
What does that
Could
say about pressure. Salford, though? Because they may be in that situation in a semi-final or in a...
No, in the semi-final. They're in the Challenge Cup semi-final.
You can't be doing that with...
No way. Wigan like the big time. Wigan like the pressure games. So, again, it's a little bit like Castleford. As we know, the pressure, the quarter-final, they got beat. Now Salford in a position where they haven't been used to for many, many years. And, you know, they'll soon find out the answers in... Well, certainly we'll find out the answers in the build-up to the semi-finals. And then we'll find out in the semi-final, won't we?
We are being accused by a lot of people of being anti-St. Helens.
No, we're not anti-St. Helens at all.
Who's saying
it? Because we've had a go at John Wilkie, Matty Smith, Johnny
Lennon. Oh, Ian loves it. He was messaging
ben
in all
Barber.
Day yesterday, abusing Scully.
Hey, Ian, right then. You tell me then, with Johnny Wilkin.
Ray French.
Right, I'll rephrase and I'll tell you again about Johnny Wilkin. Johnny Wilkin is a good second-row forward. Johnny Wilkin is a good second-row forward when he's hitting the ball up hard and straight, wide away from the ruck area. So now then, what's his name, did we say?
Ian.
Right, Ian. The only way I go about Johnny Wilkin is his kicking game. Now, come back to me now, Ian, that you're satisfied that John Wilkin plays at stand-off at times he should never do, and he kicks that ball he should never do. Give me a response, what you think to that, then.
He's one of only two Saints players to kick a 40-20 this year.
Well, he's lucky. Did you see it? Did you see it? Do me. You were like that and saying, how did that happen? I didn't do that in the warm-up.
Good news for Leeds from Diana. Saints have won only 2 games away all season, one at the Magic Weekend, so chances of winning at Leeds are slim.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they do win... They are right back in the mix this weekend.
I tell you what as well, you know, it's because when you look at the St. Helens and Leeds fixture, everybody should be going, wow, this is the wow factor. This is where we're going to see a quality game of rugby league, high entertainment. And now I'm going, this could be a bore fest. This could be a bore fest. Leeds creativity is poor. St. Helens creativity is poor. So now I'm thinking, where is the game going to be won? Is it just going to be the forwards hitting it up and support play from halfbacks, or just a little bit of luck? This fixture should have the wow factor, and yes, it should be a great, great, entertaining game of rugby league. Unfortunately, the way the two teams are playing at this moment in time, I can't see that happening, boys.
Don't forget to join us for that Boar Fest live on Radio from 7 o'clock.
And you can look forward...
Give it the big build-up.
You can look forward to them playing again in the eights.
I'm only being honest about it. Are you trying to tell me this is going to be an entertaining game?
How do you know?
tell you what, there's a bit of pressure on it now, all
there's
of a sudden.
Pressure on both.
If
pressure
Saints on both. Were to win, they would get within 3 points of Leeds. It's all to play for. All to play for. Niall Evans has signed a new deal at Salford, by
Excellent.
The way. That's good news, isn't it, for Salford? He was... I don't know if he was holding out for a better deal somewhere else or just seeing what was out there, but we saw him play the other week at full-back score. He played pretty well, didn't
good
he?
Good player. I like him. I like him at full-back. He wants to play full-back. But also, as well, when you talk about Johnny Lomax playing for England, well, they've got two full-backs and we're far better than him at this moment in time in Gareth O'Brien and Niall Evans.
Yeah, that's Evans. A fair point.
Yeah. Two better full-backs.
Did he hold out for the company Lamborghini?
I don't know if he's allowed that anymore. We better move on. We better move on. Kevin's got a request for you, Scully.
Yeah. It's a two-way family favourites here. One for the teenagers there. Scully, can you wish Peter Broadbent a happy 60th?
Peter, happy 60th. Hope you have a few quiet ones. And if you like a drop of the old whiskey, enjoy it as well, son. Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
And also, as well, I just want to give a big shout-out to the gentleman who I met at Headley, who listens to us in Holland. Every Monday night. I forgot to get his name, to be honest with you, but he listens to us in Holland every Monday night, loves the show, not just the openness and the debate from there, but the characters of the guys who are in the studio. So, thanks again, Mary. Hope you're listening, and keep enjoying.
Quite a few people at Leeds listen, which is surprising, given the amount of stuff that me and Rich give Leeds. But, you know, hey, come on, we're only here to balance it up with you two loiners, so, you know. Swings and roundabouts.
Here's some Leeds bashing for you from right. Barry. Leeds are beginning to play like the Bulls. Down the middle, no skill.
They played well yesterday, didn't they, the Bulls?
Steady.
They were outstanding.
Steady. This is, you're a Bulls fan, that's why. Steady.
No, away. Former Bulls fan.
Steady away. Yeah. Steady away.
Great spirit at the club yesterday, weren't there? There was a resilience about them. I did a poll, though, by the way, that I asked earlier on. Do you think Bradford will stay up? Do you think they'll go down? Or do you think they'll be saved by a restructure? Sadly, 59% of people think they will be saved by a restructure. But there was a defiance yesterday about Bradford, wasn't there? And the fans and the reaction at the end saying, we're going to do this on our own. I admire that spirit.
Psychologically, very important barrier to get to 0 points for the fans and the players.
Oh, yeah. I just... Jewel Reg had its greatest ever advertisement yesterday, didn't it, Gary? Jewel Reg had its greatest ever. I have never, ever seen a player orchestrating the crowd singing while his team's got the ball and it's like two passes away from him. He wasn't even looking.
Yeah, but
Gene
also...
Ormsby, you were yesterday a disgrace.
Absolute
disgrace.
Absolute. And he's he's on Huddersfield books, isn't he? But I don't think he's going to play for Huddersfield, that's for sure. But also, as well, if you're listening, Chris Hamilton, the chairman of Oldham, don't let him play for you ever again. He wasn't just orchestrating when they got the ball. He was orchestrating as well to the crowd when they were supposed to be defending.
He was arguing with the fans,
He was an absolute disgrace. And I've never seen nothing like it before in my life on a professional sports field. He should never, ever, for me, put another rugby shirt against a professional. He should not. His attitude was absolutely disgraceful. It was disgraceful. It was. Also, as well, I've got to put out another shout-out, and it's to a special... it's to Phil and Mum. I have a bit of company with Phil's mum and dad there on Friday night. So, Jilly, if you're listening, Phil's mum, she wanted a shout-out. She's got it. There you go, Jill. Hope you listen to the show.
What we'll do next week, right, after we've done the show, we'll have an hour with Scully, 8 till 9. I'll show you which buttons to press, and you can just do as many shout-outs as you want, mate.
We're popular, aren't we?
We haven't got that far.
We've got another one for you now. While we're in this sending your messages thing, Jason says, Scott, can you give a big shout out to my pal at Stanley, Michael Banks, an amputee who walked over 35 miles for Will's Way Charity. Well done, Michael.
Tremendous effort, Michael. Yeah, great effort, Michael. Great effort.
Great charity as well.
Yeah, well done. Many congratulations.
It's amazing what some people do. And I mean that sincere. That is an amazing achievement. Apparently Rich has just told me that we have got some Gene Ormsby, a clip of Gene Ormsby.
No, it's a clip of Scully talking about Gene Ormsby.
You know what I mean. Let's have a listen to what he had to say, because I was there, but I can't remember. Let's find out what he had to say right now.
Listen, Gene, the touch-judge hasn't dropped the ball, son. You have. Why are you complaining to the touch-judge? Go get a shower, son. Am I being a bit harsh there?
No, you're not. Honestly, you're not.
He was rubbish, wasn't he, yesterday?
Oh, rubbish. But his attitude was just absolutely pathetic. And for a professional sportsman, I've never seen it before. And Chris Hamilton, I've got to say, Chris, Don't let him play for your club again. It's Keeby. Somebody out who wants to put that shirt, wear it with pride at Oldham from there. Just do not ever let him play for your club again, because quite simply, he doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be there, and I'm sure if Rick Stone sees what sort of attitude he had from there, whatever, will he be still turning for his field full time when he then going to Wolves or something?
You would think so, yeah.
Well, obviously, his attitude in training may be the major reason why he's not been selected for the Giants, apart from being rubbish. But the situation is from there.
These are the opinions of Gary Schofield.
About the situation, is that he should never ever play for what I saw yesterday. He should never ever play for that club again, because as you just said there, Mark Wilson, totally disrespectful to that jersey.
It was.
And the Oldham fans.
Yeah, to the whole club. Totally disrespectful. Mm. Yeah. And to be honest with you, he should have got in the shower after 10 minutes of the kick-off.
Yeah. Well, there were two from Huddersfield yesterday. The other was Sam Wood, who had a real good go.
He did okay. Tried his best.
I spoke to Andrew Henderson today about the kid from London. I forget his name. The back rower. Had a beer, something. He was fantastic. I didn't realise he's a London. So London now are loaning players out. A young guy, big athletic, got stuck in as well. And that's the type of attitude he'll be looking for from his fringe.
Oh, yeah. Played at Oldham. Yeah, came off the bench. Oh, yeah. He got ripped in, the kid. Yeah, he was lucky not to score a couple of tries, to be honest. We were near the try line. Yeah, he got ripped in. Yeah, he did.
So you can see it working well in some ways, not working so well in others, but there you go. What are your thoughts on Joel Reg, etc., etc.? Any more social media? I know we've got some social media.
Loads of praise, which we don't like. We don't like praise.
Vic says,
"Don't
send it in."
I thought Widdop would be a good fit for Leeds. He kicks two, but they get whopping wages down under. Is it the exchange rate?
It's the whopping wages and the exchange rate. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the guy at Oldham, Sadiq Adebayo, very good. Mm. Very good he was.
Yeah, he put in the shift. Did. Put in the shift.
Well, that's what you want to see from a player if they come on loan to your club, whether it's through the usual means or Joel Reg, isn't it? That they put in a shift and try their best while they were there, even if they're not employed by the club. And if they do that, a lad like that will...
Well, and Hendo just replied, yes, young player of ours, decent prospect. So he's clearly got his eye on it. And he will have had a report back from Oldham how he got on, and he'll look at that and determine whether he can get in. I'll tell you what, 10 wins on the spin for the Broncos.
They've got another young kid at Oldham, the centre, Cameron Pearce-Paul.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit quiet, but they didn't get a lot of ball in the back.
The kid from London from there, if you listen, the coaching staff at Oldham, and I say, me and Mark Wilson were there yesterday, and if you want to listen to us here now, we'll tell you, that kid, put in the shift for you, and I'll tell you what, he deserves to be selected next week.
Yeah, he did.
So there you go. It's not all criticism, mate.
No. And that's the team in London. Yeah. Gary's saying that somebody should play for.
History making London Broncos.
10 wins on the spin.
Sounded like a great game yesterday against Swetherson. Heartbreak for them, of course, but great performance from the Broncos.
What's happened to Toulouse? Is it just the absence of Jonathan Ford? But we were saying that they were absolutely certain to be in the top four, probably still will be, but now they're the team that Halifax are after.
Well, all of a sudden, I think we all thought the four were the four, but maybe not anymore.
I think we always said it would be four from five, but I think we expected the battle to be between Featherstone and Halifax for the fourth place. But Toulouse, obviously suffering at the moment, they're the team that go to Oldham. Next,
I'll tell you what, it's going out of the wire, isn't it, in the championship? That's what we want.
Hull KR are in the qualifiers, aren't they?
They are.
But I tell you, but I've said about with the championship, if you don't bring your A game week in and week out, look at the surprise results yesterday. You know, if you don't bring your A game week in and week out, you're going to get turned over in that championship.
And the great thing for Bradford was getting to 0 points, but at the same time, Dewsbury and Swinton were both winning. So actually nothing really changed in terms of league position, and that's what's happening every week at the moment. Bradford's next two games, I think, are Halifax and Hull KR. So I think that will be the guide for how the rest of the season is going to go for them.
If they play like they did yesterday against Halifax, they've got a chance.
What a great game that would be. If you're not doing anything on Sunday, why not go and see Halifax and Bradford, a local derby? Yeah.
While you're listening to Salford Huddersfield on Radio Yorkshire, by the way.
Well, the best of both worlds then, haven't you?
There you go.
I tell you what as well, I just want to say well done to York City Knights as well, you see, because we were talking about maybe going back to Keefe, and did I say Keefe were really up for that game yesterday, but York...
Just give us your pre-match prediction there, Scott. You told me what it was. What did you say? You had to text in your pre-match prediction.
Performance, but
you're not answering the question.
I am going to do now, but I predicted Keighley would win 28-18 by 10 points, but great performance by York, and tell you what, Mark, York, and I say Mark Campbell, the Featherstone chairman, Mark Campbell now is, he's the... shared owner of York City Knights. He's going to Toronto at the weekend. He's invited me over, but unfortunately, with visa applications, he's not going to be there. But just to let you know, Mark, I'm going to be going, Mark Campbell, next year with Featherstone. Toronto coming. I'm going to Toronto, and you're staying at home. Okay?
That's assuming Toronto and Featherstone are in the same division when the restructure happens.
So, cheers, Mark. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't make it this weekend, but hopefully
when you get there, there's some problem with your visa application, and they will keep you.
They'll see the words Belle Isle. There's no chance they'll get a visa.
But as I say, well done to York City Knights yesterday. Well done.
Yes,
well
club done. On the move, to be fair.
They are indeed.
I know that John Flatman's doing a lot of really good work
there. He's there with Mark.
The recruitment is good.
Yeah.
They're building youngsters and appealing to a lot of the North
Yorkshire. They're getting some crowds at home as well. The last home game was 1,200 people, so they're doing okay.
Keith are getting 900 as really good attendance.
Yeah, that was a good attendance. Yeah. But, well done to York.
Indeed. Well done to the boys.
Robert says, let's have some Hull FC talk, please. Great half-time team talk by Radders.
Last week, people said we didn't talk about the Championship or League One. Now, this is what we're doing, for staff hour, 45 minutes, giving everybody, listen on the show. We're a balanced show. That's what it's all about, we'll get into the Super League clubs.
I'll come back to Hull in a minute, then, because I've got some more stuff about Joel Reg. Simon says it only benefits Super League teams and just gives Championship clubs a false position. Instead of creating players, we overlook them with under-average players from parent clubs. Under average? Overrated? I don't know.
We're not here to check his grammar.
No, I'm trying to work out the phrase. But we keep saying it, the Championship's an exciting competition at times. The column at the front of the League Express, that I can't remember what it's called, talks about should the Championship persuade the powers that be at Sky that they can break away from their contract or sign a contract elsewhere to show their games live on television, but the stark reality is which channel is going to show them live on television to an audience who wants to watch them.
And also, I'm sure that Sky would adhere to that because it would mean them spending less money in rugby league. But we don't want them to do that.
I think people need to realise that there aren't many broadcasters who want to throw money at rugby league. And Sky are one of them. And if you think Premier Sport are the panacea for all the ills in rugby league, then you really need to take a check on what they show half the time, because Championship Rugby League would then be at the level of Polish Speedway. Does anyone care about Speedway in this country anymore?
Worked.
Well,
State of Origin trauma.
The amount of TVs you could see on Twitter last Wednesday saying
State of Origin trauma.
Have a look into everyone's Rugby League living rooms. It was great, but we don't want to be Polish Speedway.
It's better on the radio anyway, Rugby League.
We could become Speedway. Speedway's not on Sky anymore, is it? I think they've binned it off.
Yeah. Well, did they bin it or did it get poached? I think it got pushed. Yeah.
But we could become Speedway.
Okay. Very good.
But we want to do the programme for the Championship, but
we have offered. We want multiple times.
There are, as I said before, Featherstone Rovers do very good highlights because I've watched them, which is good because it's nice to be able to see games that you can't see on TV. But not every club is going to have the facilities to do it. But we want to help. Mm. We do want to help.
Interesting.
Will Featherstone be able to film the games if they make the qualifiers, or will Sky have the overriding influence on that?
They'll be able to do their own stuff, won't they? But not
live match footage.
Okay, come on, let's talk about Hull.
Hull.
What we've been asked to talk about.
I think it was Barry, I can't remember now. Someone asked us if they'll win the
I think Ollie said Hull for cup and grand final double.
It was Robert, there you go, he said, let's have some Hull FC talk. Great half-time talk from Radders, just what Hull needed. Yeah. Oh, great, last 20 minutes.
Apparently he lost it. He admitted to losing it in the dressing room. Had to shout and swear and carry on, but it had the desired effect. What's also interesting about Hull, Richard Horne being the coach of Doncaster.
Right.
We talked about the flaws of dual registration. Is this the first sign of a feeder club?
Well, it's not the first sign, is it? Because Eaton went to Hunslet. Very similar kind of thing.
I don't think there wasn't the same feeling within the owners and I think the people that looked after Hunslet. They still wanted their own identity. They wanted some input from Leeds. But this is all. Is Richard Horne now going to take exactly Hull's systems and styles down into Doncaster so that there can be a seamless transfer of players, coaching staff, ideas? Is this the way that it's going to go?
Yeah, it is.
And if it is that the end of dual registration? Is that not the way to do it? But you have to give Doncaster something that they can win in their own right. Which is why I've never understood why we got rid of the Northern Rail Cup.
Yeah, well, I think we're all in agreement with that, aren't we?
Oh,
I think we all are, aren't we?
Yeah, but when they talk about restructures, are Hull leading the way by actually putting their assistant coach in at another club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could be right, Phil. Could be right.
We've seen that, though, before. I mean, Gary Chambers, he took the job at Swinton when they were dual reg partners.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it was quite as overt as Hull and Doncaster are doing it.
OK.
I think Richard Horne's still going to be spending some of his time within the Hull environment. It'd be interesting just to see what happens.
Good stuff. Can I just ask quickly, there's loads of people watching and listening on Facebook. Will you do me a favour? Will you share the link with your friends, please? Just a quick favour, if you would, please. That would be much appreciated.
Mark, also as well, I've just had a text from my son, Jonathan. Right?
Sailing the club.
What does he want?
No, and he's just said to me, right, you know Isaac, my grandson? He plays rugby at Stanley. He's four. Isaac is four, and do you know what? He's just got some Puma Kings, like Grandad wore, and do you know what he's doing as well? He's wearing his socks down, just like Grandad, and he's going to be a legend, just like his Grandad. Well done, Isaac. Puma Kings, socks down, showing plenty of pace, creativity and organisation, and he's only four. He's going to be a legend.
Signing for Leeds next week.
Is he better than Richie Myler?
Is he ever?
We'll come back to that in a bit.
Jamie says that Championship clubs can do 15 minutes of highlights 24 hours after the final whistle, same as Super League clubs, apparently. So.
Well, do you know what you see? I think I said it with the radio, Rich, when we was over at Bradford. It would have been ideal, wouldn't it, yesterday? No Super League games, some quality Championship rugby league on yesterday with them fixtures. It would have been ideal to show a game, wouldn't it? Would have been absolutely ideal. It would.
The problem we can't get away from is the fact that if you look at the attendance figures for some of these games, can we justify people, the clamour for live games on TV when there isn't the clamour for people to go through the
tents. And also, you have to take into account, from the broadcaster's point of view, the cost of actually setting up. It costs between £20,000 and £30,000 per game, depending on how many cameras you have and how many mixing wagons. They are not going to pay that kind of money, unfortunately. And that's just where the sport is at the moment. We have to be realistic.
Fair enough.
I tell you what, you were just talking about Hull as well there, and let's just say, well, we're talking about that game and what they played at Wakeford on Friday night, and yeah, great. Again, the more Chris Chester, open honesty, what he's giving about his players' performance, the more I'm liking. You know, I want more coaches to be open and honest and, you know, criticising players when they deserve to be criticised. Also, too, he gives them plenty of praise when they deserve from there. But again, you look at the Black and Whites, you know, they would have been celebrating a little bit after that quarter-final victory over Cass. And, you know, there was 12-0 down. I think Wakefield went 18-10 up from there, so...
Don't remind me.
Again, the Black and Whites, they're showing now, come the business end of the season, they know exactly what happened last year. And, as I say, when the press is on, when questions are going to be asked, I think they've got the response now that they know exactly what they have to do now the business end is coming.
Mark Snead back as well, a try and six goals.
Yeah. But also as well, as I say, very much delighted with the open honesty from Chester and a great reaction from the whole players. Yeah, and Mark Snead, well done with his 16
Just
points.
Just imagine if Leeds signed Richie Myler and Mark Snead.
I'm just going to say exclusively here now, if that ever happens, I'm stopping watching the game of rugby league.
What about if Mark Snead gets a central contract?
He's got Snead and all that people.
Move on.
He's got a funny style.
Move on.
Andrew and Barry, very much on the same wavelength, talking about you, your grandson, and shorts.
Yeah, those shorts you had on the other week.
Did it fit your grandson?
I'm talking about my grandson's Puma Kings and having his socks on like
Barry's
his grandson.
As long as you don't end up wearing a pair of shorts like you.
Oh, a pair of shorts like me. Right,
how much Puma King playing for the adverts there? Are we all getting a pair of boots?
Hopefully. Yeah, so we can all use them to stamp on Scully.
Paul says there are insane queues at Hull FC after the game on Friday for ticket sales for the cup game. Some camping out overnight.
Well, no. Do you know what? Doncaster, it's not going to be big enough, is it? It's nowhere near.
It should be at the McAlpine for me.
It's not going to be big enough. Or Sheffield United ground or Wednesday. It's not going to be big enough.
It's a lack of ambition.
It's not going to be big enough. Absolute joke.
It is when there's 6 weeks' notice. Absolutely. It's not like it's next week. Right, we really could do with this being a sellout.
Somebody asked a question during the day about the marketing that Toronto were doing at the moment and the money that they're putting into it.
They did.
Compare that.
Yeah.
to this semi-final.
Exactly. We'll have to come back to that on the other side of the news. It has been a tremendous first hour of Rugby League. You know the drill by now. You will talk about whatever you want to talk about on the rugby field. You're the ones that direct the show. Let us know where you want to go. At RL on RY. You can get in touch as well on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. It's the boys on RL on RY. Back shortly.
Proper Sport at 6. Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Indeed, you know the drill by now. You want to get in touch at at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page as well. Thanks to everybody that shared our link earlier on. If you could do that, keep doing that. The more the merrier. You know the drill. We want more and more people, more and more opinions talking about the greatest game of all. It's not often you get the chance to put your opinion forward as a rugby fan, but you can do it here every Monday night, 6 until 8. What a weekend of rugby we've got for you. Thursday, Leeds Saints. Friday, Cass Hall. Saturday, Wakefield Warrington. Sunday, Salford Huddersfield. It's going to be a cracking weekend of rugby league, isn't it, boys?
Quality rugby league. Absolute quality, I'm going to say.
Apart from, obviously, the Leeds Saints games, which is already dissed.
Well, it'll be a ball fest, but apart from that, when you look at it... Three great games. But all the games, really, have got something on them, haven't they?
To be fair, it's very rare you see a poor Leeds Saints game, however they're playing in the league table, because they both do have an entertainment principle behind them. And even the game at the start... Even the game at the start of the season, round one, that finished 6-4, was as absorbing a game as we've seen this year.
Hmm. Fair enough.
That'll be a belter, though, won't it, Cass and Hull?
We're standing by for the SCOY round. That'll come in a minute. You put a poll out on Twitter about Danny Maguire. How's that been going?
Let's have a look. Should he sign a new deal at Leeds, or should Leeds sign him a new deal, whatever? Would you? 52% yes, 48% no.
Interesting.
Close.
Craig Harrison said he will do what is right. He loves the club, but he will do what's right for him. And that's what he's got to do, isn't it?
Who's that?
Danny Maguire.
Oh, of course he has. Let's be fair.
Word is around now that Richie Myler has signed for Leeds. Yes. Three-year contract with the league. Three years.
Can they not play together? Does one coming in have to mean the other going out?
Listen, simple.
Here we go.
Simple. He's not good enough to play for Leeds Rugby League Club. And also as well, what Leeds do need, yes, we know now they need an organiser. They need a creativity player. Joe Moon, he's done a good stopgap job, but he's not an organiser number six. Richie Myler, for the last 3 years, has been ordinary for Warrington. He's been very ordinary for the Catalan Dragons. He's not good enough to play for Leeds Rugby League Club. And I'm absolutely astonished that they have given him a three-year deal. You look at the Leeds at the way they are playing at this moment in time. It's blatant to see for everybody what is required. Richie Myler will not bring the sort of organisation at this moment in time. He's not even supporting properly. His kicking game is very ordinary. You look at the way that Leeds outside backs are not getting no service. You look at the try scorers in Super League now, who realistically are nowhere near where the Leeds Rhinos players from there. Where are we going to get
apart from Joel Moon, who's got 18?
Right, okay then. Right, yeah. Individual brilliance, I guess. But Phil, I think you missed the point here. We're looking for somebody like a Luke Gayle who can take the game by the scruff of the neck. And one thing for sure here now, signing a player of Richie Myler, he's not going to get Leeds to grand finals, challenge cups, and wherever Leeds want to be. He's simply not good enough to put that Leeds number six jersey on.
Would you sign Daniel Mortimer, who Lee have just got?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. No, he's not good enough.
The trouble is, who is out there? If you had all the money in the world, if we didn't even
Maguire deserves another contract at Leeds. He deserves another
contract. Can he not have one and Richie Myler?
Richie Myler's not good enough to play for Leeds. Do you think he's good enough to play for Leeds?
I think he can bring something to the squad.
What's he going
to
bring?
I think he can bring a kicking game, which has been sadly lacking
since
Kevin Sinfield.
You must be watching a different player to me.
No, I think he's
can. Nowhere near got a kicking game like Kevin Sinfield, Phil.
Nobody has.
Well, exactly.
The gap between Kevin Sinfield's kicking game and the kicking game that Leeds have had for most of the last 2 years, particularly when Danny's been out injured, has been one of the reasons why they haven't been as successful.
Do you know Leeds should go sign? I said it last year. Leeds should go sign Declan Patton. He is the organising halfback. He would absolutely fry. Give him the responsibility.
Why would Warrington let him go?
Well, he's been played as a bit part player. If I was lucky to sign a halfback, I would be getting Declan Pattern. He is a quality rugby league halfback who could get a team around the park, and he has got a quality kicking game. Richie Myler, quite simply, he's not good enough to play for Leeds Rugby League Club. But, he's not.
But could you have both? Assuming he has signed, could you not have both of them?
No. How can you?
Well, I think you can. I think they bring different things. That Dan has changed his game completely now, and is more of the organiser. And Richie Myler has speed up the middle, which Leeds don't have at the moment, and a better kicking game than most of the people that are wearing a blue and amber shirt. So I think you could make a case for it doesn't have to be one or the other. There could be both. It might be a transition between the two for a year.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But if Danny wants to play for another year, that should be his decision.
Right, let's have a look at this then here. Everybody knew at Leeds that Cynthia was going 2 years ago. Richie Myler has been, had the factor six on in Catalans for the last 2 years. Why didn't Leeds sign him 2 years ago? What Richie Myler's done the last 2 years, he's gone backwards as a player.
Maybe they'd assumed that Liam Sutcliffe by now would have nailed down that number six shirt, and mainly for injury reasons,
right,
he hasn't been able to. And perhaps now his body shape is such that they don't see him as a number six or number seven.
Well, I would rather play Sutcliffe at number six than Myler.
What about Corey Aston?
Not good enough.
Leeds signed him.
Not good enough, Rich. Not good enough.
Why did Leeds only sign two youngsters this season? Why did they not sign any frontline players?
Well, they'd already signed some frontline. Well, Matt Parcells a frontline player. Mitch Garbutt's a frontline player. Keith Galloway's a frontline player. They have been signing players. With a finite salary cap, you've got to leave some room for development of youngsters. And maybe, apart from perhaps Ashton Golding at the moment, who is a potential jewel, the youngsters haven't developed as much, but they've left space. Mikolaj Oledski is probably going to be the next great one coming off the production line.
Well, the best one in the world, Mikolaj Oledski will be on about 20 grand max,
won't even be that. But Cameron Smith as well, you have to leave places in your squad under a salary cap for youngsters to come through. It's not always about going and signing people. The other thing is, who is there to go and sign? If Johnny Lomax is getting a central contract, what does that also tell us about the talent in the sport?
I agree. The quality
and
the talent.
Castleford as an example. They signed plenty of players this year, all of which I would say would get in the Leeds team right now.
The only issue Cass are going to have is when those players come up for contract renewals.
Yeah, well,
how are they going to fit it under a salary cap?
Well, I had this discussion with a player agent who said probably at the moment Castleford have got £2.5 million worth of talent in a salary cap sport because they've got them all on great contracts.
Yep.
And they've all come good together. And it will be harder when they've got to renegotiate because, with the best one in the world, people like Mike McMeekin, absolutely, who will have joined on a OK salary, could now command a very big salary.
And for whatever the rights and wrongs of it, and it was potentially all wrongs, that's the root cause of the Denny Solomona problem, that suddenly he feels that he has a much greater value than he actually does have in a salary cap sport. You can't just wander in and go, right, well, I'm now scored 42 tries, so I'll have a 75% increase in wages. It doesn't work like that.
In fairness, Castleford did offer him a pay rise.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, they were limited by what they could offer him if they'd wanted to keep him, and the decision has been absolutely right.
If Denny and his agent thought he were that good, then he should only sign a 12-month deal.
What I'm saying, the root cause of the start of that problem is the fact that a player wanted an upgrade in his contract that couldn't be afforded under the salary cap.
Yeah, but we're getting away from the subject here, quite simply.
You know, Greg Minikin's been brilliant this year, but I would suspect that he's another one that in the not-too-distant future is going to want an upgrade commensurate with the way he's playing at the moment.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're getting away from that subject. Richie Myler is not good enough to play for Leeds Rugby League Club.
The next question then is, who is available?
Robert Louis is available.
Well, would you have signed Robert Louis?
I would prefer Robert Louis than Richie Myler, yes, any day of the week. Mm. Any day.
Interesting to see what Robert Louis does.
I've told you who I would go for. I would go for Declan Pattern at Warrington. That would be my signing. Without a doubt, the kid's proved it.
Who's better, Declan Pattern or Jordan Lilly?
Oh, Declan Pattern, easily. I saw Jordan yesterday, and he's going backwards. Yeah. Going backwards. He is.
Does he need to get out of Leeds?
He needs to be playing first team football, so he's far too good for Bradford there. He needs to get away.
When you say he's far too good for Bradford, is the issue that he feels that he's playing at a level below that he should be playing? What team should, if he wasn't playing for Leeds, where should he be playing to bring his game on? Well, should he be playing for Featherstone, maybe, in a top 40?
Featherstone would be more compact because he's got better players around. Because when I watched Jordan yesterday, again, the reason why I say he's too good for that Bradford, because he's thinking 2 or 3 seconds before everybody else, you know, and he's looking and thinking, here we go, but there's nobody there. That's his thought process. That's a good a player as what he is. And obviously, there's something going on at Leeds there, whether it's in the dressing room, whether it's his attitude or whatever, we don't know. But Jordan is far too good for that. And my advice would be quite simple to Jordan. Listen, son, if you want to play Super League, you've got to move on.
What was his kicking game like?
Steady. I'd say steady, to be honest. But again, his organisation was, you know, at times was pretty good and at times was ordinary. But again, what I'm saying about him is he was thinking far quicker than what the Bradford players around him was.
Interesting that Hull KR have signed Chris Atkin of Swinton. Mm. They're obviously looking to perhaps being in Super League next year. That's their aim. They think he's going to be good enough to play at that level.
Well, I saw him last week at Featherstone. Still open. The jury's still open on that from my point of view, to be honest. It is. Hey, listen, if Super League clubs are giving these youngsters opportunities, certainly these outbacks, I'm applauding it. Absolutely applauding it. Rather than bringing Aussies over. And it's like, you know, they brought, you know, Daniel Morton and whatever for Lee. You know, I'm all for it. Get the young British outbacks because, as we all know, we are certainly lacking quality outbacks. And because they're not being allowed to play how they want to play. They're not being allowed to play with that freedom. They're not being allowed to play, you know, play what you see and let's have a go from maybe 50, 60, 70 yards out from there, attacking play. But, you know, that's the way the game's gone, unfortunately.
OK, let's get to some social media at RL on RY.
Has he ranted yet, by the way? Quite sedate, really.
People are expecting you to blow up, Scully.
We're in a sedate mood today. A couple from Rhino's Faithful. on Jordan Lilley, first of all, do you expect him to play Thursday with Maguire banned and Burrow injured?
Burrow was very close to playing this week, wasn't he?
Mm. He's got an issue with some moving metal in his shoulder. Mm. These players are just unbelievable, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Ronald Treff also asked if we've heard any rumours about Liam Sutcliffe going to Wigan.
Interesting.
Silence in the studio.
Interesting.
With JJB, Maguire and Burrow all out of contract, do you expect all three to still be at Leeds next season?
I think Jamie Jones would get another deal. I don't think both of Burrow and Maguire will. That's my gut feeling.
You think Jamie Jones will go around again?
Yeah, I think.
Do you think he'll go around again? Yeah. I'll tell you what. At times, when I've seen him,
he's going to get banned again this week.
And you saw the third time this year.
Yeah, you saw the frustration, didn't you, coming out of him from there? You know, but
he's a winner. You want him around?
Oh yeah, I understand. He's a winner.
You can't go through a season where you lose three of your top line senior players and then go through another one where you lose three of your top line senior players. If you're talking about handing down this DNA and culture that they all talk about, I don't think you can afford to lose Jones, Buchanan, Burrow, and Maguire on the back of losing Sinfield, Peacock, and Lulu.
But also as well, if they keep Jamie Jones and lose Maguire and Burrow, that'll be interesting.
JJB's playing seven next season.
That'll be interesting.
Biggest scrum half in the history of the sport.
I think Rob Burrow's still one of the greatest impact players off the bench that the sport's got, and there's no reason why the way that if he'd have at least been an option on Friday night against Castleford, he may have made a difference. Jack Walker and to be fair, Tom Holmes were never going to come on into that environment, but Burrow, perhaps you would have thrown in.
Fair enough.
Con has pointed out that Richie Mile has scored more tries than Danny Maguire this season.
Got two this week, Richie.
Yeah, four overs.
I'm going to say the one I saw, I think you'd have scored, Scully, to be fair.
Four overs.
Well, someone did say he'd scored 42 on Cass's left-hand side. That was, Simon. Scully would score 42 on Cass's left-hand side. Paul says, last time Cass beat Leeds three times in a season, 1977-78. Also, have two teams drawn twice in a season? We need to know this afternoon.
Yes. Leeds and Wigan did in, was it 2003? No. 24 all, both times. What's both that? At Headingley.
That's even more of a thing.
Very good.
Elsewhere, other suggestions for Leeds. A couple of people come up with Rangy Chase.
Well, he's contract end of the season.
Will he be at Widnes, do you think, next year?
Well, I don't know. What do you reckon? I don't think he will. I think he will, but short-term deal.
I think he's a stopgap for this year. And he's the kind of player, I think, that when they inevitably will be in the qualifiers, could probably cause some damage against Championship teams. But we've seen that all of the teams are starting to stockpile, aren't they, for the eights. Rangy is you know, probably a valuable asset in that environment. I just can't see Widnes building a team around him.
Apparently, our Facebook feed is frozen, which is frozen on Phil and Richard, looking very intelligent. I don't know what you need to do with that.
I think someone next door will kick it.
Will they?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I think Ian wants us to talk about Ben Barber.
Right.
But I think we said this last week. If the RFL let him play and not uphold his ban, then it's a disgrace.
Yeah, it is. It's a disgrace. And I'm surprised that the RFL haven't just literally said to St. Helens, listen, it's a 12-week ban, and that's as simple as that. It's standing. When's he due to play? September the 10th or something like that, is it? And that's it. So don't be trying to go anywhere near courts or anywhere near lawyers or whatever. This ban is here, this ban is to stay, and he's got 12 weeks. It's as simple as that. And the RFL should come down and say, very heavily and say, tell him to say, listen, we are not letting anybody into the game who has taken cocaine, brought the game into disrepute, and letting him not stand the ban.
I'm not sure the RFL can stand in the way of a club wanting to have an appeal. I just don't think... I can't understand from... I mean, Saints are a club of great integrity.
Eamon
McManus has done a huge amount of work
there.
I don't know why they would think they had a case to appeal, because in the round, for the betterment of the sport, it would be preferable if they didn't, because it sends out completely the wrong message.
How can we as a sport mourn about the RFU registering Mr. Solomona, and yet, therefore, not uphold the NRL's ban, which is the same sport as us?
I go back to the fact that the RFL can't stop a club appealing a sentence, but I don't know why Saints are even taking it to the RFL. That's the bit I don't understand. And Ben Barber will be a great signing for them, and I'm sure that over the next 2 years he'll win some games for them. But even this year, looking at the league table, it's not essential that they get Ben Barber out there. It's a season of rebuilding for them. I think even if they win on Thursday night at Headingley, you look at the way the fixtures are panning out between now and the end of the eights, they're probably not going to gather enough points to get into the top four, because everybody else is playing each other and they'll pick up points. But just uphold the ban, the integrity of St Helens, and don't appeal.
I agree with that. I think it's a disgrace, personally.
Yeah, I do.
Being banned...
Correct, ban, taking cocaine.
How come, by the way, as well, I mean, I might be out of the loop on this, but didn't Gareth Ott get a 2-year ban for taking cocaine?
As I always say, on WADA, the people who come up with these things, they...
So how come Barber only got 12 weeks in? Or 12 games?
It may have been that he was taking it out of competition. I don't know if there's a distinction. Gareth Ott was taking it during a season and it's deemed to be performance enhancing, if Barber was taking it socially, having won a grand final with no rugby to be played for 3 months, there may be a difference. I don't know.
Which is probably what the French Rugby Union thought when they let him play.
But yeah.
As we know, they run to their own.
Yeah. They don't mind in France. They just have a good riot, generally sorts them out.
The French Rugby Union have a great history of screwing over rugby league, to put it very politely, in collaboration with some very nasty people.
Yeah.
You want to have a bit of a rant about rugby union, don't you, Richie? You've been building this up.
I just think that with what's happened with the Denny Solomona thing, and this goes back to when he was first registered last year, the RFU pretty much stuck up two fingers to the RFL and said, yeah, no, come and play for us. It doesn't matter what you think about his contract with Castleford. The RFU stuck two fingers up to us. Let's stick two fingers up to them. I don't want to ever use Twickenham as a venue for any England or Challenge Cup if we had to move away from Wembley or whatever again, or any of their venues, or any publicity opportunities with the England coaches meeting or whatever. No, I don't see the great benefit to us when they've screwed over Castleford Tigers over a genuine complaint about Denny Solomona. They were happy to register him. I would hope as well, going further than that, we have nothing to do at all with Sale Sharks as a club and don't entertain them at all.
Shall I not respond to their media day then? You don't want to go, Rich?
No, I have no interest in going to Sale at all. And Steve Diamond's comments last week were absolutely disgraceful.
Everything you've said is right.
But it's wrong.
So should, if it became a point of principle between the RFU and the RFL, should Castleford have taken that case to court?
They probably
to establish the principle, on behalf of Rugby League and any other sport where a player has broken a contract, in which case, if CAS couldn't afford to pay further legal fees, it got to £100,000, and I think listening to all Steve Gill's explanations and those of Richard Cramer, who outlined it really well as to what the timeline of what had happened, seems to me that the case was agreed because Castleford didn't want to risk any more in legal fees. Is that not where the RFL should have stepped in?
I think we
said
that.
The RFL were quicker to comment when it was resolved, saying how well the Rugby League had done out of it. They weren't as quick to comment when the CAS needed help. And I think their official line on it was, it's not our case to fight.
Because it's a matter of principle for the sport. Happens to be that Castleford are in the vanguard of it. And if it had been Wigan or Halifax, the principle to be supported would still have applied. Should the governing body... I know money's short, and I know...
it can't be that short. We've just given Johnny Lomax some.
There's an element of risk about losing a court case. As our good friend Rod Studd says, any outcome is possible. But to establish in law the fact that what Sale had done was unlawful... If Castleford couldn't take it any further, should the RFL not have insisted that case went to court?
This is an RFL that can't arrange a championship highlights programme. The best will in the world.
And apparently hasn't got a commercial director.
And
they can't get a big enough stadium for the Challenge Cup semi-final.
It's not having a go at them, but no. Richard's right. If the RFU were prepared to register a player in contravention of general sport accord... then the RFL should have said, we'll take the best QC advice we can get. And it goes back to the term World Cup. We had a World Cup in 1954. It was the Rugby League World Cup. 87, when the RFU decided a World Cup was a good idea, they decided they were going to call it the Rugby World Cup. The RFL were advised to take them to court and say, you can register some names, but you can't register one that we've already got. It's our competition. We did it 50 years before you did, so go away. And because there was going to be a fee involved to take them to court, the RFL backed down. And now, if you say Rugby World Cup, it never means the Rugby League World Cup. This was the generational equivalent of that, where we should have said, let's take it to the absolute letter of the law, and let's see how Sale are when we stood on the courtroom steps and how much bravado they've got.
Mm. Finally, we all know that one player from Sale will end up coming back to Rugby League sooner rather than later. If any club dares to pay a fee for him, well, we should just cast them asunder and never speak of them again. Because Sale have betrayed us. The RFU have betrayed us.
Have they blocked you as well?
I don't know.
Well, have they blocked you, Phil? Have you been getting stuck in, have you, Phil?
Okay. Yeah. Who's blocked you, Phil?
Sale.
Have they?
They didn't like some of the comments, I don't think.
Well, big babies.
It's good to see them.
Big babies. Go change your nappies.
To be honest, haven't lost any sleep about it.
Yeah, exactly. Go change your nappies.
More scared about players' wives contacting us than rugby union clubs, but...
Well, which players' wives are we afraid of?
All of them. elsewhere on social media, in a non-exciting thing, Simon says, Cass would beat Hull on Friday if they beat Hull on Friday. They get the league leaders' tin pot. Oh, come on. Friday means at least 1,000 off the attendance from a great Hull following. You were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? Mm. About how... Was it last year?
But they are playing Thursday night. That is not Castleford's fault. They are playing Thursday. Therefore, they would not play Sunday. They can't play Sunday. So they've had to play Friday or Saturday. And then Sky have said, well, we want it on the telly, so you're playing on Friday.
The shame is, Hull played Cass 2 weeks ago in a great cup tie. Hull will be playing Cass again in the eights. And Hull may well be playing Cass again in a semi-final or a final. And this is the issue about any talk of restructure. Yes, there is a lessening of impact if you play the same team too often.
There is, but at the same time, this is a massive game in its own right.
It isn't.
It's revenge, because they're playing again
in the eights.
It's revenge game, though, isn't it, for what happened two weeks
ago? If Cass win, then the eights might not even matter.
Yeah. Cass deserve and will get the league leader shield. Whether they win or lose against Hull.
Yeah, but this is revenge time.
I don't think you can say that. This is revenge time.
I think two weeks ago.
Oh, because the Cass players after the game were ready for it. They'd have played at 10 o'clock on Friday night.
Absolutely. And I think if there is an advantage to going out of the cup for Cass, it's the extra weekends they'll have while Hull are still in the competition. I think they're winning on
Tell you what, Phil, Cassidy would be in the Challenge Cup semi-final. They're not in the Challenge Cup semi-final, I can reassure you.
They would, but I get what Phil's saying.
But I think when, you know, there are goals and objectives that they can reasonably go for now. The first one is to do something they've never done before, and hopefully on the back of that, in the semi-finals, that'll put them in prime position to get to Old Trafford to reward them for how they've played this year. I think the Challenge Cup might have been too much. And if they're going to get a benefit from not being in it, it's the fact that Hull are, and that's why I think Castle will win the league leader shield, whether they win or lose this week.
OK, well, we'll see. It's not done just yet, but they are getting there. If you want to get in touch at RL on OI, you can get to us on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page.
Well, we've kind of touched on this with talking about Bradfield, but a few people are wanting to talk about the excitement of what potential structure rugby league will have in 18, I don't even know what year it is, and 19 and 20, and probably not in 21 when we'll change it again. But obviously we're talking about Bradford. Will they be shoehorned into the Championship or Super League? What happens with Toronto? And as the, was it on the second page of League Express today, the Championship clubs are discussing their future and what will happen with them and Oxford and Gloucestershire and York and Keighley and all these other teams, and what's going to happen.
From a Championship club's perspective, what brings them more money? Bradford taking 1,500 fans to Rochdale, or Toronto coming over, bringing zero fans? Because whatever everyone will have you believe, I don't think anyone in this country is actually very bothered. Until they get to the Super League, I don't think anyone's that bothered about Toronto. I get people telling me how great it is, and they're doing this and they're doing that. The crowds, to me, seem to be going down already. That might be being overly critical. Right, and I think once they're in the top flight, I think then they bring something to the game because it will get us that more exposure. But if you're Rochdale chairman and you're scraping round getting 150 grand off the RFL and you're trying to put a team out that can compete against a team getting £1 million or whatever it is, then if you're getting 30 grand off Bradford fans, you're going to take that 30 grand. So they are going to vote, as the Super League clubs always do. If it means more money, they'll vote for it, whatever it is. And that's what the Championship clubs will do, in my opinion. We said we did the poll earlier. The Bradford fans don't want to be saved by a restructure, but that restructure will happen, and it will mean that Bradford will stay in the Championship. And when Ralph Rimmer told us it's the best for everyone that Bradford are in the Championship,
without actually giving us the reason why.
That fella was going to go to OKR.
Oh, yeah, him. He went. Yeah, he went. Yeah, he's never been since. But there you go. That's why they'll vote. That's why they'll vote to keep Bradford in.
The fact that they're talking about potential restructure, I think, highlights the issue that the eights haven't worked. One of the things that the eights were supposed to bring were 10 sell-out games at top flight level, more commercial interest, higher viewing figures, greater attendances. That was laid out at the... I can remember there was a big... media briefing at the Holiday Inn at Brig House where we were first shown the proposals, asked to comment on them even though we haven't had a chance to read them. And there were a lot of questions around the room saying, you haven't really explained how this is going to work or in whose benefit this is for. If you want to bring back promotion relegation, then there are easier and more understandable ways of doing it than this contrived system which has been knocked back by the Scottish Football Association. And have you read the report of Norway or one of the Scandinavian football leagues that had done it and then ditched it and said, here are all the reasons why it didn't work? We didn't take any of that on board. So to change something now because it was wrong in the first place, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But what is it we are trying to achieve here? You know, what is the blank sheet of paper? Where are we going to be in 5 years' time? I think this goes back to 1995 when we suddenly got a huge influx of money from Uncle Rupert, who've basically said, from being a part-time sport apart from one team, you can all now go full-time. And I don't think anybody sat down and said, what does that mean? What are the implications of that? Which clubs can handle being full-time? Bearing in mind, you need an infrastructure at your club, you need a junior production line, you need a commercial organisation. You know, a lot of clubs who are now struggling or are Championship clubs, and because of the distributions will be so for the foreseeable future. Everybody was supposed to go full-time with that money, but we didn't map that out. We still haven't mapped that out. We don't know what that means. I watched Toronto play Hunslet on the early hours of Sunday morning, and I still don't understand what we're trying to get from those games. for a full-time team to be playing in a part-time environment doesn't work. We're looking at Hull KR, who have already qualified for the qualifiers with four rounds of the season still to go. Last year in the eights, Lee bought their way out successfully and merited, but the other three teams from the Championship didn't actually want to be promoted. I remember having a long conversation with Andrew Henderson saying, actually, you know, it's a year too early for us, but they're full-time in the Championship. You talk about Rochdale and Oldham and Dewsbury and Swinton, they're part-time. We haven't yet come to terms with the fact, how do you come up with a structure where everybody benefits from that? And you're right, it is money, but if you're also going to put disbursements in the Championship that are where you finish, you'll always finish where you finish. We need to just sit down with as near a blank sheet of paper as we can and decide, what do we want the sport to look like in 5 and 10 years' time? But I don't think we're doing that. I think it's another hodgepodge.
Do you think they will increase the number of Super League teams?
Again, we went down to 12 because there weren't enough sufficient quality players. From everything that Gary's been saying about halfbacks that are available, there aren't any more quality players than there were when that decision was made. But Hull want Hull KR back in Super League because they've lost the funding stream. A lot of people within the rugby league see Bradford as a future Super League team. Yes, they're treading water at the moment, but they're still going back to the fact that even at their lowest ebb, they got nearly 4,000 fans yesterday, most of whom will have been Bradford fans. Toronto, yes, bizarrely lost 1,000 fans for the current game this week, but you look at that attendance in League One and it's a huge anomaly. And I'm not even sure, with the greatest respect to the clubs that have gone out there, they've actually got out of second gear yet, watching them again this week. So what do we want? Where do we want full-time and part-time to be? And how do we structure less games and less repetition between the teams? Because the other thing the eights bought is far too much spectator fatigue because you're playing the same team too often.
Scoey, do we go back to play each other once and maybe the five-team playoff at the end of the season? It seemed to work well enough, didn't it?
Yep, that's me. Yeah, you just come up with the right solution, Matt Wilson. Simple as that. Simplicity, and there we go. Everybody understands it. Everybody knows what's happening from the start. And
what about the relegation? Bottom one, you've gone.
Bottom one goes. Simple as that.
Would you have any criteria of the team coming up has got to have a certain level of standard that the old frame in the future that never got instituted, that for Super League to be a viable spotlight competition, you've got to bring something to it if you come into it?
I think certain criteria would have to be met. Ground, academy, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although
academy.
We've got Super League teams that don't have academies, so that's
scandal.
So how can you argue with that debate when the clubs haven't even got it? So
how many rounds?
You should be made to have it.
Well, I agree.
How many regular season rounds would you have?
Well, it depends on
because if you're only playing home and away and no other games,
be in the first place, doesn't it?
Well, if you work backwards from how many sustainable rounds that you need, that tells you how many teams you've got. Because I still think that 12 is probably the right number. That gives you then the chance to add in two games that are promotional games, one of which would be a Magic-style weekend and the other an on-the-road weekend, and then go back to what we discussed at the end of last season, where if you finish in the middle of Super League, you don't play any more games.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you don't lose
go away and get ready for next season.
You know, Huddersfield at the moment are aiming to be in the eight. If they get in the eight, the likelihood is they're not going to have enough points for the eight games to get into the four. So those seven matches, Huddersfield don't actually want, because they're going to cost them money in the same way that they did Wakefield in the Castleford in the first year and Wakefield in the second year. Why are we coming up with a structure that is costing clubs money? So your season finishes after 24 rounds.
In the old
if
NFL,
you're in the middle
if you don't
of
the make the playoffs,
yeah,
you've done.
Right.
That's
so,
you.
So if
failure.
You're in the, if
go
you're
on
the,
and get ready for next
if you're
no,
in the, if
NFL
you're in the
shield.
Bottom. No. If you're in the bottom four, your playoff to be in the relegation, to be out of that relegation million-pound game. If you're in the top five, you play to be at Old Trafford. Yeah. If you're in the middle, you don't play anymore.
Yeah. And that might well strengthen the team for next year. Get
Absolutely.
Players fit. Get your recruitment done
but
nice and early.
They're not losing money.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. What do the people at home think? Let us know at RL on RY.
I mean, I know the world has changed a lot since 1995, but you just go back and see the amount of competitions that were out there that were sponsored.
But
the
also,
Yorkshire and Lancashire Cups, the Regal Trophy,
one,
the
one
Challenge
of the
Cup
other principles
league.
That does need talking about, and it would need to be done properly if it was ever going to be done, was that there were some clubs in 95 in their effort to get huge amounts of money agreed to merge. and then went back to the clubs and thought, I can't get this through, so we're not going to do it. And that was a hodgepodge way of doing it, and it was an either-or. It wasn't, let's keep the identity of the clubs that we've got, but build something above them. So if you were to talk about Cumbria, instead of getting a Cumbrian entity, we ended up with Workington in the first year of Super League. Mm. Workington have never recovered from that. So if we're serious about what we want to be, and we've only got 12 players and we want to have the best players, I mean, I still can't get why we've got Ryan Bridley playing in the third tier of rugby or Ryan, you know, right,
money
Ryan
talks,
Brayley.
Money
yeah,
talks.
Yeah. But if you want your best players at your elite level with 12 clubs, and there has to be some degree of cooperation between clubs, you still retain the identity below that, then isn't that what Doncaster and Hull are starting to do?
Yeah, but also as well here, if we look, you mentioned Workington there back in 95, if Ulster Rovers this year don't come up at the first attempt, where are they going to go? You know, what can they afford to spend another year in the Championship?
But if they go up, and let's say because they're at the bottom of the table at the moment, a Lee come down, do Lee then become unsustainable if they're back in the Championship? Mm. We have to decide what we want.
Joanne says, if we had minimum criteria for promoted teams, you'd have to apply that to existing Super League clubs, then a third would get relegated. Mm. Don't want to talk about that, Joanne. Because, of course, and people have asked...
Today there's been a big meeting.
People have asked us, what do you think about the news today about Wakefield Stadium? I refer you to the previous answers. A, that I tweeted the other day, and now we're out of an election time, I can say, don't trust any politicians who pitch up at Bellevue for a photo opportunity in election period, because none of them have built a bloody stadium yet. And two, I won't believe it until I'm sat in it. Simple as that. It doesn't matter now about where it's going to be, or why the council haven't done this, or why the developers haven't done that. Just get the damn thing built. I'm bored of it.
And share it with Castleford.
And share it with Castleford, and Featherstone, and Dewsbury, and Batley, and anyone else in the WF postcode. Just build the plumbing thing. And then we have to Neil Fox, and then we can all have done with it. And it's just bored of it. I'm just completely bored of it, because it's been going on so long.
Mm. What happened to all those councillors that were down at Wakefield?
That's what I mean. They're all there.
All glad,
aren't they? Here we are. Look at us.
Yeah,
oh,
look at us.
Vote for me. I'll promise you a new stadium. Where is it?
Yeah, I think they've just given it to the DUP, aren't they?
We've got to move to Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland Trinity. Would Trinity work in
Northern
Ireland?
No.
As long as Michael keeps giving me quality chip boys on Saturday night, I'll be happy at that. Yeah. Who'll be listening, Michael?
Northern Ireland Wildcats. Come on. Go on, the boys.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Is that where they're going to? Great, I love Ireland, love a pint of Guinness.
yeah, interesting. Eh? Lots of people are getting in touch, thanks to each and every one of you. I've just been looking at Craig Harrison. Obviously Danny Maguire's agent has been busy on Twitter tonight, asking, you know, how come Johnny Lomax gets this payment and Zach Hardacre doesn't? Zach Hardacre is in the England team, Johnny Lomax isn't. The only difference is Johnny Lomax out of contract, Zach Hardacre at the minute not out of contract. So how does that work?
But we'll be moving, and I'm sure Cass would like in the next
few. What are the
few
criteria? He also says, just imagine if Castleford win the League Ladies Shield or the Grand Final, they've got six people in the England squad, and not one of them are on the
Absolutely.
Bonus, shall we say.
Well, didn't Luke Gale re-sign at the back end of last year? Should he not be given?
Or was that not an enhanced contract? I don't know.
But
Craig can tell us. He's Luke's agent.
What did the RFL?
Craig,
well, he clearly hasn't got one because
but should have all the people that should have one at the moment.
Yeah.
Should he not be the first in the queue?
What do the RFL regard as a good ambassador for the sport?
Well, this is a question. What are the criteria? No one knows what the criteria are.
They've got criteria for who's given a testimonial or not, and they don't follow those criteria.
Well, that is that's a very good example.
League Leaders Shield, by the way. When are we going to have a proper trophy? When are we going to have a proper cash prize? And when are we going to give the league leaders a week off as a reward?
I'm trying to fall in with Scully's line of thinking now on the League Leaders Shield and the Grand Final and such. And it needs to be more important than it is.
Absolutely.
And especially when Castleford, potentially for the first time ever in their history, are going to make history this year by topping the table. Mm. And no one's going to care because it's that old hubcap that everyone takes the mickey out of week in, week out. They deserve a proper trophy. Where is the proper trophy? It's at Wigan. Get out of the cupboard.
The old championship trophy should be, which was a hugely ornate piece of silverware, should be given to the team that finishes top of the league.
I agree.
Along with, say, an amount of money that recognises the fact that, you know, they do get some at the moment, but a serious amount of money that recognises that the achievement is so astonishing. And I would say a week off. In any restructure, whatever we're going to do, give the team that finishes top of the league the first week off of the playoffs, let them recuperate, sit back in the armchair with the can of ale and the cigar and watch everybody else beat each other up for the right to play them.
I agree.
Great stuff. It's out there, but it's another thing. The RFL, if they came out and said, this is the criteria, these are the templates.
Absolutely.
That in itself... If it actually came out and went, right, Sky, want you live at Red Hall on Monday at 10 because we're going to announce the 10 players that we feel are the best players in the competition.
And ambassadors for the game.
Or even if they put out something formal alongside St Helens explaining what it was. But at the moment, it's a throwaway line in a St Helens press release.
Yeah.
The RFL haven't said anything.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Surely if you're an ambassador, you need to tell people who your ambassadors
are. Rubbish! We're giving it to the best players because we don't want to lose them. Ambassadors. I want a list of what work that any of those ambassadors have done.
You get to drive one of those Dachas.
I think if you of them had pictures taken with a motor vehicle at the start of the season.
Oh, wow.
Get to sit in a tub of mushy peas.
Scoy regularly has his picture taken with a motor vehicle. Sadly, it's a police car.
Joanne says, where will the prize money come from the Championship Trophy winners? Hang on, let's just have a
look round.
50p, I think.
We've just released a press statement, John. It says that we're going to give you 50 quid.
We'll find it. We've got the trophy for the quiz. We'll give you that. That's all right. Ian saying the hubcap means nothing.
I think that is changing now. I think that is changing. And I think that will be easily, like you said, you either make it a bigger and better trophy or the old trophy. So, right, this is what you're getting, fellas.
And why shouldn't it be
or
the old trophy?
They are the automatic, which I think they're automatic. You are fighting for the World Club Challenge, not winning the Grand Final. Yeah. You're in the World Club Challenge.
Or even the second team in the World Club Challenge is the league leaders after 30 rounds, not the runners up of the Grand Final.
Hmm. The Pandora's box has been opened on this ambassadors thing because now, you know, writers, I think it's Rhino's Faithful saying, shouldn't it all be one or two per team? Why only, you know, we don't know because no one's told us.
Well, how can the best team that we all openly acknowledge are playing the best rugby league ain't got anyone on this?
Just as an aside as well, how much money have we got? What's in the chest? Is this not the money tree that doesn't exist of rugby league?
Well, we've
signed a deal with the Northern Irish.
No, but seriously, how much money have we got? Is Johnny Lomax the last person for 20 years now because, you know, what there's a chance that a sponsor might not be there next year?
What was that Team GB thing or whatever?
Yeah.
The thing that Kieran Cunningham and Chris Walensky was in it as well? I can't remember. Well, where did that go? What happened to that? I know Drake Bain went. Yorkshire Pros loves a Mushy Peas. Good. He wants to be an ambassador for Mushy Peas. Tweet them.
I can't think of anybody better.
It's,
By the way, boys, we've been invited. We're going to be invited to the fish and chip challenge.
Oh, yes. This is great, lads.
This could be interesting in Ossett. If we eat it all, we get it free. You've got half an hour to eat it. Was it 32 ounce fish? You think it don't look a lot, that. Don't look a lot. I've seen a guy eating it. It's a lot of fish and chips.
It's fish and chips or the fish?
No, fish and chips, mushy peas, beans, the lot.
Do you get bread cakes?
Yeah, honestly.
I'll have a couple.
Honestly, it is huge. It's called the Whale Fish and Chip Challenge.
I'll have a couple of bread
cakes. It'll be on film.
I'll have a couple of bread cakes.
It'll be on
well,
film. Please. Look, there it is. There it is. He's gone past it now. The Fish and Chip Challenge. I mean, that's a big plate of fish and chips, Phil. Could you do that in half an hour?
Give it a go.
I'll have a couple of bread cakes with that. Don't worry about that, eh? My 32-inch waistline will easily fit that in. No danger.
It will.
Eh? Oh, look at that, by the way. The Danny Maguire poll. 50-50.
That's the second 50-50 we've had today.
Have we managed that?
Well, what's the Danny poll?
Would you give him a new contract?
Yeah, of course, you got to do. Deserves
one. If he wants one,
you've got to do.
You know we're starting now is the whole bread cake thing and people saying, what's a bread cake?
We're not going
there. That's what it is.
Balm cake, whatever
it's
you call it.
It's a bread cake. No debate, it's a bread cake.
It's a bread cake, simple as that.
Tea cake?
Oh, please.
What's a tea cake?
Bread cake.
Huh? Well, anyway, are you up for it? Because we've got
to
go do it.
It's the scraps.
Yeah, well, if you want scraps, Phil, they'll give you scraps.
I'm up for it. Yeah, we've had out.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Where
the
we
legend?
Going?
I don't know. We'll have to arrange a time when we can all go.
This is the hottest topic. Forget ambassadors, it's what's a bread cake called.
Yeah. See, a scuffler.
Oh,
a scuffler.
It's these Featherstone, Pete. I don't know what's going on.
The hell's a scuffler?
Andrew says Sale Sharks should pay the prize money for the league leaders. That's us banned from there. Tom says the league leaders show means something to the fans and the players. I still think the club aim for the grand final, though. Andy thinks the RFL took the old trophy to cash converters. We can't confirm that. Right.
We are awaiting a statement on that one.
Cash converters now ambassadors for rugby league. Yeah.
regarding other bits and pieces and stuff from throughout the show today, Dean saying he loved the Hunslet fans chanting, "What a waste of money!" at Toronto.
The best call they came out with was, "There's only one Albert Goldthorpe."
There you go.
Brilliant.
Who they said? Who
brilliant.
I tell you, well done. Well, they took 150 fans over to
Fantastic.
Toronto, didn't they? Yeah, great. Well, yeah, great support. Well done.
And they had a great time looking at them.
Yeah.
But if we were truly serious about what Toronto have got, and we took Hull FC out there, they might have taken 1,500 or 2,000 fans.
Yeah.
It's about your level of ambition.
Well, I'm looking forward to going out there sooner rather than later.
Carlos thinks we got confused. He says that Warrington won the league leadership last year. Yeah, we know that. We're saying the old trophy, the proper trophy.
The first division trophy.
The championship.
Which we think is at Wigan, because I'm sure they got everything.
It's a lovely trophy as well.
It was beautiful.
Great trophy. Lovely trophy.
How would you know?
I think Wigan got presented.
I didn't tell it like me and Rich.
Because I've seen some photographs of it.
I think Wigan won it at Headingley, didn't you?
Yeah, they did a few times, Rich. All right.
You know, Sid, who won the rugby ball of the week, well, I had to post it in the world's biggest box. Honestly, the box was
it probably cost more to post than it's worth, though
the box cost more than the postage. That's how big it was.
What, the box? We're on a size 5.
You've blown it up, though. That was the problem.
You've blown it up, haven't you? And then Sid says he'd send you the box back to put all your medals in, which I thought was a bit harsh.
That's very harsh. Very harsh.
Yeah.
Hold on, Sid. Yeah, I've got some medals, but they're all runners up.
I get them on eBay.
What the sound of Wigan won again?
I don't know. I haven't seen them for years. I didn't file in cabinet.
What, filed under B1N?
Bond draw. I don't know what they look like anymore.
You haven't got a filing cabinet, have you?
I don't know how to spell files. P-H-I-F-L, is it?
It's better the effort than your team one.
Not sure where this is going.
No.
Jamie was talking about Toronto being in the championship and Catalan and the away support, and this is something Phil was saying before we came up. It's not about the away support.
It's never about the away support. It's solely about how you market your club. If you're waiting for revenue to come in because of the opposition of bringing fans, that is not the way to run your business. I've never seen the value of that. That, you know, you need to sell tickets. On Friday night at Headingley, there were just over 18,000 people there. Fantastic turnout from Cass. Made a lot of noise. I would imagine maybe a couple of thousand Cass fans.
Mm.
So Leeds got 16,000 fans in there. It's not about the opposition and how many they bring. That's your bonus.
Yeah.
So you need to run your business, and the competition needs to be alluring enough that if you're playing a Catalan or Toronto, the home people want to go and see it. You can't build it around how many might come from Hull.
Fair point. We're going to have to do our predictions very shortly.
Yeah, because all it is just people talking about bread.
Marm cakes.
It's just all gone mad.
It's all gone bonkers.
Speaking of marketing, Alex says we need a Barry Hearn kind of figure, and he's got involved with basketball and netball, which I can't see a big upside on, but we are in Toronto, as we mentioned earlier. They've got great marketing, great social media, whatever, because they've got the budget for that, and not every team
but
can
afford
that.
But also, they see the value of it. Whereas we don't. It's an add-on cost, though. We can't spend it on the team, so, just put out the score. But it's a vital part of promoting who you are.
It is. Completely agree. We've got to do the John Smith.
Oh, yeah, and we've been asked when Big Nigel's coming in. We're still waiting.
We haven't asked him yet, I'll be brutally honest, but I think we will do. We will ask him next week and see how busy he is.
This is an important question for you. Do you fancy winning cash? And the answer, of course, is yes. Not just for you, but for your local pub as well, because we joined forces with John Smith to find a local pub that is only ordinary by name. You can win £200. And John Smith's to enjoy just for nominated pub. All you have to do is tell us what is extraordinary about your local. And if you think about all the great pubs that can have great old rugby league shirts on the wall, maybe you've got a Highfield shirt up there, that would be quite a defining feature. Or like the Don Bar in Stockton-on-Tees, which has a world record 70,000 plus poppies glued to the ceiling as a tribute to Britain's armed forces. So if you've got something like that in your local pub, head to the homepage at radioyorkshire.co.uk. You'll see the link for John Smith's Only Ordinary by Name and nominate your local. And once we've received all your extraordinary nominations, we'll shortlist two local pubs, open them up to our listeners' votes, and determine the local winning pub. The local Only Ordinary by Name pub will win £300 and the chance to be entered in the overall final of the competition for the chance to land £5,000. Right, all nominated pubs have to be a John Smith Stockett. Terms apply, over 18s only, residing in the UK. Nominations close on July the 2nd at 6 p.m. Please drink responsibly, and you find the details at radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Does the old Parnaby Tavern sell John Smith? Go, we'll nominate it, we might win some money.
Yeah, it does.
Does it? Right, we're in, we'll get that in.
Anybody's got a bar billiards table still?
Bar billiards, Phil.
Remember bar billiards? Do you remember bar billiards? No, you're too young.
Lost us there, Phil.
Oh, yeah, with the big mushrooms on.
Yeah.
Pool table. Got pool
table. No, no.
Bar billiards. Pool table, dartboard on in the Parnaby.
Before my time.
Hyde Park was, I think, one of the last in Leeds to have a bar billiards table.
Don't forget, listeners, 52 on Saturday, so...
52?
52 Saturday.
What, is that your waist size or what?
It's a bit harsh.
I'm only asking.
A bit harsh. 52 years of age on Saturday, the 1st of July.
52? How big were your paper round?
I'm from Belisle.
Right, it is. Four live games on Radio Yorkshire this week. Leeds Saints on Thursday, Friday's Castle, Saturday Wakey Warrington, and on Sunday, Salford Huddersfield. Right, where do we want to start? Scotty, we'll start on Thursday.
Yeah, we are indeed. Leeds Rhinos, as I've mentioned earlier, you know, it's normally a highly entertaining game, quality game of rugby league, both entertaining. I don't think I'm going to see it. I think I'm going to see a pretty boring game of rugby league because the creativity from both sides isn't there. But I'm going for the Rhinos win, and I'm going for the Rhinos by 6, and I'm going just around about 20 points to 14. I can't get excited. I cannot get excited.
All right.
Unlimited creativity. There'll be 60 points scored and Leeds will just edge it.
60 points, Phil?
Yeah. These teams will throw the ball about like there's no
tomorrow. I think this will be... They generally do deliver, as you said. They generally deliver. And there's something on it for St Helens as well. They've got to come and win. They've got to come and win. Don't mean they will. They've got to come.
I'm not saying not going to win, but what I'm saying is it's just going to be a boring game the way the both teams attack.
Who's the leading offloader in Super League this year?
Drop it ball Cuthbertson.
One game. One poor game.
My new mate, who's going to be the new Ashton Golding, he's going to score a try. Leads by about 8.
OK. If you play. Fair enough. You better see Ashton Golding today, aren't you?
Yeah,
you
can watch it on the Radio Yorkshire.
Radio Yorkshire website. I am going to go Leeds. I think Leeds will win that one. Castle. I think this is the game of the season.
It is.
So far, Castle. Who's going to win?
It is. And it's certainly just coming so close after that great quarter final as well in the Challenge Cup. But yeah, Castle want revenge and certainly at home. It's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm going Cass by 12.
Yeah, can't wait to see it. But I reckon Cass will win. I think Hull needed that second half performance, but Cass have got a mission, and this isn't going to derail them.
They're going to put Greg Eden on the right hand side, so they put it all down the right hand side instead of left this time to confuse Hull. Cast by six.
I'm going to go Hull. Catalan against Lee. Must win for the Dragons, even though it looks they are destined for the bottom four, but they need to win just to make sure if they are in the bottom four, they finish 9th or 10th and get better home games.
Yeah, but it's a must-win as well for Lee, is it, to try and get some confidence from somewhere, to be honest with you, from there. And, well, two poor teams. I mentioned the word confidence. Both are lacking confidence. Both aren't playing well. But you look at the home draw, you look at the Catalans, I think they might just have a little bit too much quality. McNamara looking to get his first 2 points as the new coach. I'll go the Dragons by 10.
Yeah, I think there were some encouraging signs for the Dragons, although they lost at Warrington. I think there was a bit more unity and cohesion, and another week working with them will help Steve McNamara, his first home game. I'm going the Dragons, and they'll just about keep in the mathematical race of not being in the bottom four, but they will be in the bottom four.
Oh, well, I won't be watching it because I'll be at Bellevue, which is good, because I don't think I'll even tape it. Catalans by...
Two. I thought Lee was shocking on Friday. Thursday, Catalans by 20 for me. Wakefield against Warrington.
Yep, well, the Wakefield players, there won't be any white flags out on Saturday night. Getting back there and hopefully get themselves back into winning ways after, well, you would say two ordinary performances. Warrington Wolves, dressing room's gone, confidence has gone. Trinity get themselves back on the winning ways. I'm going Trinity by 14.
Purely about who Wakefield have got bodies wise. I think what's hurt them more than anything is not attitude or desire. They just haven't got the best players out there at the moment.
If they can get up another few injuries last week as well.
I think this is just the time of the season where there's not a lot Wakefield can do. Warrington, if they are going to put any pressure at all on Wigan and Huddersfield, looking at the fixtures that are coming up against those teams, they might have the incentive to win. I'd just go narrow Warrington win.
Well, back on the top four tour this week. Could be the last ever Wakefield Warrington game at Bellevue. could be. Wakefield by 8, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I think Wakefield have got to make sure they don't turn this into a slump. Hopefully they will.
But
moving on quickly. Sunday, our live game is Salford against Huddersfield.
Well, Salford.
Gotta be quick, Scotty.
Yeah. Salford Giants. Giants in good form. Salford, yeah, looking to get back on the horse themselves. I'll just go for a close game here. I'm going to go Salford by 7.
Yeah, Salford narrowly, I think. Again, injuries will cost Huddersfield.
Mm. Boringly, narrow Salford win.
I'm going to Huddersfield. I think Huddersfield will win. Well, Salford lost the last three league games now.
Correct.
That's a shocker for them losing the other night. I think Huddersfield will go there and win. Wigan take on Widnes.
Yeah, no joy for Widnes here. Wigan looking to get themselves away a little bit more from the bottom four. I'm going to Warriors by 20.
Can't believe that Wigan haven't won since April, and it's 1903 now since they had, was it, 8 without a win. It'll end this weekend. They'll edge Widnes, although Widnes have a fairly decent record at Wigan.
Could won't potentially be all be over, couldn't it, this week? If Huddersfield and Wigan were both to win, Warrington and Catalan were both to lose.
That would be it.
It would pretty much be it.
I understand
they'd
Wigan
both be playing to lose.
You know, Wigan have injuries, but they will beat Widnes because they're rubbish.
Have Wigan got injuries?
Yeah.
I thought Widnes weren't bad last week. Tighter than we think. So, yeah, all to play for. What about the big one in the Championship, OKR London?
A big one, but you look at the home fix from there. But Andrew Henderson's side, plenty of confidence. But I'll just go Hulk, it's a Rovers by 10.
Now, I'd like to think London could put down a marker for the qualifiers when these two teams will play again. They'll travel in confidence. Hull KR may rest a few now that they've achieved their first goal. I'd like to see London.
Good chance to get more games on the battle of Justin Carney. So, slight Hull KR win.
Okay, well, we'll see. Yeah, I'm going to go for the Broncos. We'll see. But should they win, it would be that would be that. Four live games for you then this week. Thursday, Leeds Saints. Friday, Castle FC. Saturday, Wakey Warrington. Sunday, it's Salford Huddersfield. And that's been it. Another week has blasted by. We will invite Mr. Wood in next week then. We haven't purposely not invited him in just yet because we've been quite busy. We've had a lot on. Scotty, looking forward to your Rugby League weekend?
Very much so. Quality games. There's plenty on the games from there. Yeah, can't wait.
Excellent stuff. Phil?
Yep. Halifax-Bradford, I think, will be a great game as well.
Should be a cracker.
Can't wait. It's going to be great.
Good stuff. Thanks to everyone that's interacted with us tonight. The podcast will be going up within the next few moments. If you want to get involved with that, please do subscribe and download the RL on RY podcast. We will be back with more live rugby league on Thursday night. Will it be a ball fest? Well, the legend has been known to get it wrong on the odd occasion, so hopefully he'll be wrong again this week. Whether it's a barn cake, a tea cake, or a bread cake,
it's a bread cake.
Enjoy it. We'll see you all again next week.